Man, Jim Cramer on CNBC totally lost the plot. In a long tirade, he called for the military to run government-enforced mandatory vaccinations. It was pretty intense. This was not some light thing like maybe we should have the military come out and, you know, offer up people services. No. He was like, everybody should be forced to do it. And if you don't want to do it, go to court and then file your conscientious objector status and we'll have the military run it. Fauci came out and he said, it's time. You know, he said, we might not have to lock down, but prepare for the worst. When asked, he said, we're going to have lockdowns. Don't worry. It'll be temporary. And Joe Biden said, lockdowns will not be necessary for now. If everyone gets the vaccine and wears their masks. So I'll make this prediction. You know, I don't like making predictions because the internet loses their minds when I do. And I'm just, you know, sometimes wrong. But how about this? I think we're going to see lockdowns again. I think Omicron is here. It's being reported in San Francisco. I think we're going to see lockdowns. I think it's going to be mostly in blue states. I certainly think Florida and Texas are going to say shove off. But I think New York, California, Illinois, many of these blue states are going to come out and they're going to be like, we've got to do it again. And I would not be surprised if the governors of these states then kill more elderly people. We talked about the Hope experiment. What was the guy's name? Carl Richter or something?
Yeah,
that
sounds
I don't know, something like that. Yeah. He basically put rats in a vat of in a cylinder full of water, and within 15 minutes they give up, they can't swim, they die. Then he did another experiment where he took them out just before they drown, dries them off, put them back in. The second time, because of Hope, they swam for, I think, 60 hours was the total. They wouldn't give up because they believed this hand might come and save me again. Mm. So I've been saying for a while, now that they've reduced the lockdowns, they'll come back and they'll come back substantially worse. So we're going to talk about all that. We got a cool group here. We got Rav here. You want to introduce yourself, man?
Yeah. I'm a journalist. Mostly writing for the New York Post and other outlets as well, writing about COVID, mandates, crime, identity politics, but lately a lot about COVID and mandates and young people especially, the side effects that young people are facing and the risks with mandating vaccines for school children and all of what's happening right now in Europe and across North America.
Right on, man. Thanks for coming. We got a lot to talk about. We got Luke.
So I'm here watching the chat, and I want to shout out the person that just said, no, Rudkowski, we Pukowski.
Wow.
Really appreciate that very much. I appreciate that. You guys. And if you guys want to support me, you can by checking out my t-shirt store. It, of course, is thebestpoliticalshirts.com, and you can buy shirts like the one I'm wearing right now that says, if you trust the government, you don't know history. I think an important lesson that Jim Cramer should really learn. They make great gifts and gag ideas. Thebestpoliticalshirts.com. Thanks for having me.
That is an astute statement on your shirt. I think a lot about if I didn't have the knowledge of what Nazis and what the Nazis had done, that this would be a totally different experience. Mm-hmm. If I didn't know that this is actually, not this particularly, but it has happened in the past where they genially put you on a train and take you somewhere to relocate.
Ian, wait until you find out what the communists did.
And hold on, too. There's a really great quote. What the Nazis did was legal.
Yeah.
What Schindler and other people did trying to protect Jews was illegal. What they did was against the law. What the United States did to the Japanese with the internment camps was legal. What the communists did, they all justify it. So let's make sure we don't confuse legality with morality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I'm really excited for this evening because the talk about lockdowns again, talk about this new variant is really distressing. So hopefully we can find some kind of closure on that.
But don't forget, head over to timcast.com, become a member. And you'll get access to exclusive members-only segments of the Timcast IRL podcast, which we will have for you tonight around 11 or so p.m. You don't want to miss it. We usually get a little rowdy, not so much family-friendly, because it's the after show, it's the after party. But as a member of Timcast, you're helping support all of our journalists. So, you know, we have a bunch of stories we put up all the time. We have investigative, we have breaking news, we have on-the-ground reporting happening. We had Elad, he's going, you know, traveling to cover some of these big protests, and we have that stuff up all the time. And it's all thanks to you as members. So don't forget, you can also like this video, subscribe to this channel, smash the like button. Check out, we got the Step on Sneck and Find Out shirt pinned in the chat. You can get that if you want it. And share the video. Help support the show. And we don't have the marketing budget of CNN, but we do have grassroots power from all of you guys. Let's jump over to that first story and get right into it. Joe Biden, be quiet. I am offended that Joe Biden started talking right as I'm trying to start this segment. We're going to mute that site. Get out of here, Joe. CNBC host suggests nationwide vaccine mandate. Have the military run it. I really love this story from The Hill because Jim Cramer didn't suggest anything. He demanded it. He didn't say, maybe we, we have a national vaccine mandate. No, he was literally like, this is on the White House and Biden. Everyone's got to do this. And if you don't, you go to court and try and prove your objector status. And it's rather crazy. I'll jump right to this. We have this tweet here with this video. I'll jump right to the end so you can hear him get to the having the military run this thing.
Nobody wants to be the bad guy.
He's the bad guy. Uh-huh.
But back then, anyone who refused to get vaccinated would get ratted out immediately because we knew that person could hurt other people. The common wheel was a common wheel. Now we're engaged in a similar struggle with COVID.
What was that?
He needs to breathe.
No, I can't. The way he's slurring his speech, yeah. I'm actually wondering.
Massive throat and neck tension.
No. Oh, that's true, too. Let's play it.
But Eisenhower would be aghast. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down? We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish state's right issue, the right to get sick, get other people sick. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court.
You know, I got to say, he's slurring pretty crazy.
Yeah. That's
like that. I mean, totally as an aside, like I'm not trying to say this disrespectfully, that weird circular wheel, what was he saying?
I don't know.
Dude. I don't know.
Compared to 2 years ago, that you're totally right. Yeah. I haven't watched him in a long time.
And he's reading a teleprompter.
But the way he said objector, I feel like, I gotta be honest, I'm gonna be honest. I thought he was having a stroke. Mm-hmm. No joke. Like the way he started slurring and like losing it. But anyway, to the point of his politics.
Well, a bunch of crazy stuff. We'll have the military run it. You just throwing it out there. We just have the military take control and go marshal. Like, it's crazy the casualty that he spoke with there.
Yeah. And it makes absolutely no sense, by the way. Like, segregating between unvaccinated and vaccinated when we know that there are several studies showing that the vaccine efficacy lasts about 6-7 months against infection. And so after about 6-7 months, a vaccinated person is just as likely to get infected and transmit COVID as an infected person, as an unvaccinated person. Several studies show this. So mandating the stuff makes no sense because then you're going to have a group of people that has the same level of infection and transmission rates after a certain amount of months. So it's just a matter of buying us time.
So, I mean, obviously they've been talking about boosters for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because you have, like, there was a period where if you said the efficacy was waning, you'd get banned on social media. Mm-hmm. Dave Rubin being a great example where he tweeted out, you know, it's not working the way they promised. And sooner or later, they're going to call for boosters. And he got suspended on Twitter for it. And now, sure enough,
yeah,
they've already been saying, I think in Israel, they're on shot number five.
Yeah, which needs to be mandated a part of their digital vaccine passport social credit score system that they implemented in that country, which is absolutely absurd. Mm. Jim Cramer here just proved how much of an establishment hack he is. He's a Bear Stearns shill showing off his best bootlicking on national television, which is embarrassing for this country. I mean, he went full commie. It's psychotic behavior. He wants to throw people in jail, in court, and have the military men who are used to fighting armies force people to take a medication that might not be right for them, that might hurt them, that some medical professionals are telling some individuals based on their own medical history that they can't take. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? And again, Jim Cramer, maybe, I don't know, maybe he was trying to boost up big pharma stocks by doing this. I don't know what he was thinking, but I don't trust this man's financial advice, especially when it came to Bear Stearns. I didn't trust his financial advice when it came to Bitcoin, when he announced he sold most of his Bitcoin on June 21st of this year. Bitcoin was about $32,000. Bitcoin right now is about $57,000. Mm-hmm. So his financial advice hasn't been there. His social critique and political involvement now is full fascistic and as dangerous as it is stupid, in my opinion.
Maybe you're right. I mean, so Jim Cramer's show is like stock show. You know, yeah. He talks about finances.
Yeah.
We got the story from Barron's. This is from today. Moderna stock tanks after losing a patent dispute. Here's what comes next. I don't really care what comes next. Mm. Moderna dropped 10%. Now, this is today. That speech he gave was from Monday. But maybe you're a guy who's talking finance. Maybe you're a guy who gives bad advice. And maybe you use your show to try and push and pump and dump and things like that. I'm not saying he does. But I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. Well, the Moderna stock went down because the CEO came out a few days ago and said that the vaccine doesn't have that good effectiveness when it comes to this new Omicron variant, allegedly. And as soon as he said that, the stocks go down. He soon came after that statement and made another statement saying that we need double booster shots mm-hmm. in order to successfully fight this new Omicron variant, which just appeared in the United States from a fully vaccinated person in San Francisco, California.
Okay, well, hold on. You're jumping the gun here, Luke. You're jumping the gun. Barron's is reporting the stock fell because a federal circuit court of appeals, a panel of three judges, upheld a ruling against the biotech company in a decision on patents that Arbutus Biopharma said it owns. The patents in question regard lipid nanoparticles, which are used to deliver mRNA to cells safely, which basically means if you've got stock in Moderna, they don't own the rights to that product. And I can only imagine they're going to have to pay out some kind of portion of their revenue to the rights holder on this regard.
Yeah, that plus two judges now ruling against Biden's vaccine mandate, plus his latest statements, all, of course, are having a kind of crescendo moment. And also with the Federal Reserve screaming, saying, hey, this is going to hurt us financially with this new variant. No. The Federal Reserve printing money out of thin air is going to hurt us financially as they're the ones causing inflation, as they're the ones causing the larger economic problems. And they're trying to blame it on this new variant, Omicron variant, which, again, we're still learning about all the details.
Omicron? Yeah.
Whatever they call it.
Joe Biden's version?
Yeah, are you choosing Joe Biden's version?
I love that version.
Yes. What the president says is gospel, and we should always trust and believe him no matter what.
I would love to rename it to Omicron.
That's great.
Let's just call it Omicron.
Yeah. We might as well.
Yeah. I mean, Biden's the authority on this, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's not a withered husk of his former self.
No, he's the president.
Yeah, he doesn't have metal stents inside of his brain holding up major blood clots. You know,
this idea, by the way, that new variants are going to come and they're going to lead to more booster shots was considered to be absolute conspiracy at the beginning of the pandemic. This is a two-shot vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys saw on Twitter, Eric Topol, the big medical expert that the left, you know, often uses as somebody who's reliable for this information. He came out yesterday with a tweet saying this is a three-shot vaccine. And he's considered like one of the biggest, most reliable experts on vaccines. There's one story I was looking at recently, by the way, which shows how ineffective vaccines are against infection. The Ottawa Senators, an NHL hockey team, 100% vaccination rate, and now 40% of the team just tested positive for COVID.
Oh, jeez.
Well, so the issue is, are we dealing with variants that the vaccines struggle to deal with?
I've heard varying opinions. I have heard that because of Delta and Omicron, that these are new variants and the vaccine have a limited coverage for the various pathogens that they attempt to protect against. I have no idea how the biological mechanism works, but it's absolutely objectively true that the protection against infection is completely short-lived. It's only a few months.
Well, let's make sure we have that distinction, right? So to say the vaccines don't, you know, aren't working. Well, hold on. The issue is they don't work long enough.
Yes.
And that's not, I'm going to say, oh no, they work forever. Yeah, they work. You go talk to your doctor because they work forever. I'm kidding, by the way. My point is, if you have all of the mainstream media coming out and saying the efficacy is waning and now you need three shots, a booster is your fourth shot. It's Fauci. It's the Moderna CEOs, the guys who are saying you need more boosters. Not us. The narrative that they are pushing in that capacity then is breaking confidence in the efficacy of the vaccines. So what I said, you know, when we saw LeBron James, a double vaxxed, gets COVID. Hmm. New York Daily News wrote in the first sentence, not even the king is immune to COVID-19. And I was like, he was vaccinated. Hmm. So when they said that, it was a really weird cognitive dissonance, I think, for regular people, because people call vaccines immunization, right?
Yeah.
They would be like, did you get immunized from, you know, this or whatever? Or did you go to, you got immunized from yellow fever? When I went and got my vaccines for going to Venezuela, they said I was getting immunized.
It was synonymous. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe it's a colloquial thing like, oh, we don't think it's a guarantee it'll prevent yellow fever or HEP or something like that. But if LeBron James got the vaccine as he was supposed to do it, and he still gets it. And Dan Bongino gets the vaccine because he had lymphoma, and then he still gets it. The problem is all of your data goes out the window. This is why I'm always just like, go talk to a doctor, man. I don't want liability from anybody making decisions off of, you know, I'm not going to give advice on this. But the issue then is people will be bewildered. What are you supposed to do when you have a news story coming out, literally, LeBron James fully vaxxed gets COVID, Dan Bongino fully vaxxed gets COVID. Who were the politicians who got it and they were fully vaxxed?
Yeah,
we keep having these high-profile stories. And as you pointed out, what did you say, 40% of the NHL?
40% of the Ottawa Senators, a top NHL team, just tested positive for COVID, even though 100% of the team is vaccinated.
Hmm.
And if you talk to top medical experts, like in my writing, when I talk about COVID, I have to be very careful. Like when I try to publish stuff, if I don't back it up with expert opinion, with trained experts, then it becomes an issue. But it's worth mentioning, by the way, when we're talking about vaccines, that the protection against death remains durable after several months. It's the protection against infection that is very short-lived.
Hmm.
Well, Stu, there's a lot of the science that we haven't figured out, and there's a lot of different political beliefs. But when we have, you know, large medical institutions, along with Dr. Fauci, coming out from the very beginning of this and saying 100% safe and effective, just do this one time and everything will go back to normal, that doesn't build trust. That doesn't build anyone who's going to willingly now be like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll believe you this time or this time. And they did it to themselves. They created a situation where it's very hard to believe anything coming out of their mouth because it keeps changing. And if it does, you have to admit it's changed. You have to take accountability. You have to take responsibility for your words. And they haven't been doing any of that. Dr. Fauci is afraid of doing any kind of interviews with anyone who even views any kind of different political circumstance differently than he does. And if he's the nation's doctor, he's not supposed to be political, but he's been political from the very beginning. He was saying Black Lives Matter protests are great. Mm-hmm. Anti-lockdown protests, bad. Mm-hmm. They're causing the spread. Black Lives Matter protests are the ones that are slowing the spread. And again, you can't have both. And they've been changing the definitions of vaccines. They've been changing the definitions of herd immunity. Yep. And I think it's important for all of us to admit we don't know what's going on here. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a medical doctor. We're not here giving medical advice. But at the same time, we're here to tell you everyone who's telling you that they know exactly what's happening here is full of crap.
I think that's a great point. What I said, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I can't give you advice on that. But I am an expert in freedom.
Hmm.
And I think one of the issues that we fall into is we have to be careful. There should not be government mandated medical procedures. That's about it. And you want to come to me and say, Jim Cramer, he's like, oh, but we have, you know, this reason and that reason. I'm like, government ain't going to tell me what medical procedures I got to have. Because you have to think about what it means philosophically if we move to a point where the government can mandate any of this by force. Okay. Well, you know, people who have Neuralink, cybernetic implants, have an advantage. Ah, here's a better one. People who have the VeriChip implant, well, it's safer because when they get stopped by police, the police don't have to search for ID. When they get pulled over, their ID's right with them. We will reduce crime and end the crime pandemic if everyone just gets their VeriChip. Get that chip injected into your hand. What happens when a criminal gets stopped and he gives a false name? Crime gets worse. We can't give the government the ability to just say, here's the medical procedure you have to undergo because it's going to help make you safer or save lives. That's it.
One of the worst examples of this, by the way, recently, I don't know if you heard about this, 44,000 students in LA are about to lose their right to have in-person education because they missed the vaccine deadline. Yeah, in Los Angeles, the LA Times reported on this. 44,000 students now are about to move to online schooling only because they didn't get vaccinated.
And that sounds like a great reset.
Huh.
You know, stopping people from going in person. And let's talk about, okay, so this is where we are in the United States with Jim Cramer saying we want, you know, he wants the military to enforce this. So let's talk about what that'll look like.
Mm.
And the biggest thing you need to be worried about, my friends, are the propagandists. I can only tell you this. We use a wonderful little product called NewsGuard. And I've been criticized for using it because who funds it, Luke?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
Oh, heavens. Bill Gates provides funding. It's through Microsoft, right? Or is it him directly?
I'm not sure. I don't
think it's
fact
Microsoft.
Check that.
So I use this on purpose as sort of to make a point. If I use a news source that makes a claim and then I highlight that claim and you accuse me of being fake news, I just say, oh, don't look at me. Ask Bill Gates, right? Uh-oh. Are they the conspiracy theorists now?
Hmm.
Here's a story we have from The Guardian. Northern Territory police arrest three people who escaped from Howard Springs COVID quarantine facility. Trio allegedly jumped the fence at the open air center near Darwin early on Wednesday. You want to know what the best part is? Do you know what the name of the Howard, do you know what type of facility the Howard Springs facility is?
It's like a
No. Give me the exact statement. No hyperbole. Literally, what is the Howard Springs facility? Anybody?
Summer camp?
Literal, not made up. Come on.
Know.
What has the Australian government called it? You guys don't know this?
No.
No. They call it a quarantine camp. Uh-huh. I didn't think that was very difficult, but I guess you guys didn't know.
I don't know.
They're now calling it the Center for National Resilience.
What?
Police and staff at the Center for National Resilience. Oh, I'm sorry. That's probably, I probably got that wrong.
Okay.
That's probably just where they're doing the investigation from. The police and staff at the Center for National Resilience are currently confirming the absconders' identities prior to releasing further information. They say it's a large open-air facility for quarantining people. The alleged escape. The absconders. So there are people being brought to these facilities voluntarily?
Uh-huh.
Is it voluntary?
Do we know?
Well, but they're not able to leave voluntarily, apparently.
It doesn't look voluntarily.
Yeah.
If they have to escape, then there's not a voluntary exit strategy. Mm-hmm. Well, that I know of.
Yeah.
So let's get into the propagandists. This one's a little too personal for me. I've been harping on this for a minute, but I want to make this very concise for you guys so you can understand what's going on in Australia. I have these series of tweets that break down what's happening in Australia very simply. I said, don't forget, if the chief minister says you can't leave your home even to get food, thanks the army for their trucks used to transport COVID suspects, and you get arrested if you try to leave the camp, Jesse Single and Quillette say it's a conspiracy theory. So here we go. Here's one article. Under that lockdown, residents could only leave home for five reasons, including essential shopping, essential work, providing or receiving care, exercise, and obtaining medical treatment. Gunner has announced Binjari and Rockhole residents now cannot leave their homes unless for medical reasons or in an emergency. That means you can't leave for food. We have this from Grabian. Chief Minister Gunner. The army is now transferring positive COVID cases and contacts in Northern Territory, Australia to quarantine camps by army trucks. And finally, NT police arrest three people who escaped from Howard Springs COVID quarantine facility. Hmm. The propaganda and those supporting the state narrative in this regard is probably the scariest thing to me. Because what ended up happening today was Jesse Single wrote this entirely fabricated story about me, claiming that I was like a conspiracy theorist or something, based on my tweets literally quoting abc.net.au, which is to say 38 people were transported by army truck to the quarantine facilities. I never said by with guns drawn or by force or anything like that. He then writes this big article that's completely fake, seemingly just to kind of discredit me. Now, of course, I know that's personal and I take emotional issue with it, but I decided to put together these three sources, which I included the links to all of these stories on Twitter. And surprise, surprise, many people didn't know this was real.
Hmm.
So a lot of people engaging in the Twitter spat I had with Jesse see these three stories and their response immediately was, no way that's real. Because if you read these propaganda stories from like Quillette or Jesse, you'd think I made it up. When in fact, it's all NewsGuard certified sources. In Australia, they have police and military setting up checkpoints and locking down people in their homes. The chief minister has said, you cannot leave your home for these reasons, for the normal lockdown reasons, meaning no food.
Hmm.
He then said, I'd like to thank the prime minister for the ADF personnel and army trucks to transport the COVID cases and the suspected cases and close contacts to the Howard Springs facility. All of that was said from his mouth.
I feel like Quillette is kind of going the way of the mainstream media, which is a little bit troubling, and I think it's a really good reminder that we need to be incredibly critical of all of our sources, even if we think that they're mostly or some percentage in agreement with us ideologically.
It's also pretty terrifying what's happening in Australia, where the government previously disarmed the citizenry. Very interestingly, no one's really bringing up how gun confiscation worked really well in Australia anymore. I remember hearing about that a few months ago. I don't hear about that
right now. Ain't nobody in Australia would take up arms against what's going on.
Probably,
right now.
But still, I think it's a factor worth considering here. But when it came to these three escapees, I remember seeing a news report showing how police officers were closing down roads and inspecting every single vehicle, searching everyone's cars to make sure that no one was hiding, trying to make these people get away from the larger area. So they caught these people. But this is again absolutely huge powers that the government is granting itself in the name of a tragedy that of course has historically gone down with people exploiting really bad events for their own personal powers and the powers that they have in Australia. I mean, the authorities there have rushed through laws that give them the ability to control people's social media accounts, to hack their accounts, to see everything that they're doing, to deny them the ability to be able to walk into businesses, heavy fines for not wearing a mask, heavy fines for going to protests, jail time for people organizing protests. And when you're seeing human rights eviscerated to such extent where you can't even voice an opinion against the government without having the government knocking on your door saying, we want to control your social media, we now have the ability to post as you when we want, we have the ability to know every little detail about your life. That is a dangerous power that you have given the government that, of course, it routinely, historically, always abuses.
I want to give a special shout out to Quillette and to Jesse Single, too, because if there's one thing they accomplished in making up fake stories about me or lying, is that they've just gotten me to cover the issue in greater detail more and more.
I love it.
So, I mean, look, it was initially I tweeted concentration camp in reference to Howard Springs as kind of like a jokey, trolley thing, and Claire decided to go nuts on it. So I doubled down. And now we're at the point where I've covered this in great detail, and it's only getting worse. Now there's manhunts for people who are escaping from this quarantine facility.
Yeah. Seems
nice. And Jesse decides to write a completely fabricated narrative about me based on a tweet without doing any research. That's the funniest thing about it. And in turn, I obviously get mad about it. And then we cover the story in greater detail, once again simplifying. That in Australia, they are rounding people up with the assistance of the military, and the chief minister is thanking them for the assistance, sending them to a camp where they're trying to escape.
Is Claire in Australia right now?
Clearly. Yes, she is.
So yep. Is she in a position now where she got online and was like, you're right, Tim, what the government's doing here is horrible. We need to do it, that they'd come knocking on her door?
Yep, probably.
Yeah, of course. Wow. I mean, there's incredible videos showing police officers showing up at people's doors, banging, demanding, saying, did you post this on the internet? Mm-hmm. Were you here at this protest? Did you dare have a voice against the state? Intimidating people, harassing people, not just protesters, journalists, like, what's his name? Yemi? I forgot.
Yeah. Hami?
Avi. Avi's been doing really incredible work. He had police show up at his door. He's routinely detained for even trying to report on these protests as an official member of the press. So when you have, intimidation of journalism, when you have the suppression of people's voices, when you have the suppression of protests, when you have the suppressions of people's speech, you have a situation that is absolutely Orwellian, destructive, dangerous, and the opposite of anything progressive that anyone could even imagine.
You want to know what the best part is about these three people who escaped? They were teenagers, and they had tested negative. The Australian government took three teenagers from the Binjari community, brought them to a quarantine facility when they were negative for COVID, tested them, they were negative, and then when these three teens escaped, the police were sent out to investigate, hunt them down, and arrest them.
Set up roadblocks.
Why are they there, though, if they're negative?
Yeah.
They were near someone.
I have to wonder about the Australian government bringing people without COVID to a quarantine camp where they're not allowed to leave. And then you have to imagine these teenagers are probably thinking, I don't want to get COVID.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're negative. And they're like, good, let me go. No.
Wait, were they positive maybe first and then they were negative?
So it's possible. But the minister said close contacts.
Mm.
So that means like,
right, okay.
Well, you know, we got, my brother's downstairs. You are officially a close contact. They'd come to your house and arrest you and be like, well, you know, you were a close contact with this person. You might be like, I didn't see that person. I don't know what you're talking about. Too bad. The best part about it is how they say they're not doing it by force. And now you have all of these, I swear, look, people need to understand. It's a known fact that governments use sock puppetry on social media. The bot accounts. I'm not saying every person's a bot, but they do this. And it's funny to see the propagandists coming out and tweeting. It's been confirmed. The people are not being taken by force. And I'm like, are you kidding? Then why are they escaping? Like, they're voluntarily showing up and then trying to break out? That makes literally no sense. More importantly, they voluntarily show up but can't voluntarily leave. How about we'll just call it that? Okay, the Australian government is offering free rides in army trucks to the quarantine facility where people aren't allowed to leave by threat of arrest. Is that it? Are we good now?
Do you think it's possible they just don't tell them that they can't leave once they get there? And are they maybe misleading
them? That's definitely possible.
I think it is completely unreasonable to make the argument that when the minister comes out and says you can't leave your house to eat, and we're going to take people with by army truck to quarantine facilities where they will be arrested if they escape, the idea that they were voluntarily going to this place is absurd.
You know what I don't like is the way the Australian police interact with the citizenry, like gorillas attacking like a wounded lamb. Like they just walk up on people, no fear, like their arms are out, like they're about to grapple. So like they're not afraid of getting shot in the chest because they've disarmed the populace. And they just like stumble towards humans and like use their mass to like squeeze them. It's disgusting.
Mm. One question I have about the Australian camps is, are vaccinated people able to get into these camps? Do they detain those people too?
Yeah, probably, for sure.
If they test negative. Positive.
Yeah. Or if they're a suspected case. Or one of the big things too, and we'll get into this in just a second, is that there's new travel restrictions where Biden wants to implement them, that no matter your vaccination status, if you travel into the country, you've got to quarantine for a week. You've got to have a negative test before traveling. And all of these, like, I don't know, what's the word for the zealots? All of these like hardcore government mandate zealots are like, what do you mean? I've got to take a test in quarantine. I'm double vaxxed. And one guy tweeted like, I'm double vaxxed and boosted. I refuse to be treated like these dewormer people. It's like, what did you think was going to happen? Bro, get your subscription now. Promo code Fauci Ouchie to your monthly vaccine booster. Like, I think if people are concerned about their health, you go and talk to a doctor about it. I think COVID is very, very serious. I got it, and boy, was it bad. But I think the problem is they keep trying to centralize everything. They keep trying to say, we have an idea. This one thing will solve the problem, when in reality, it's going to be a multifaceted approach that solves this.
It's not polio. This Jim Cramer guy acted like it's polio, like we're dealing with polio. And then he was like, so, he said, polio is horrible. So we need to use vaccines against COVID. Like complete non sequitur, irrelevance.
Also, other vaccines for polio and smallpox, they took years to get mandated.
Wasn't it 15 plus years?
Some were like 5 or 6 years, others were like 15 years, but never before has it been right away as it has been with COVID.
Oh, so yeah. They didn't rush out a vaccine for
smallpox. No.
And there's also the danger of rushing something that will have an effect that, of course, will stop the natural progression of a virus and potentially even make it worse. That's what some scientists are speculating right
Brett
now.
Says a lot.
That this intervention could actually cause to a worse situation, another different variant that could hurt the world even more, which if you're thinking about how the state has been using this problem to help their friends to conduct the largest transfer of wealth in recorded human history, to empower themselves with godlike authority over the population, I would think that they would have an interest in making this situation worse personally myself, but that is just my own perspective, my own personal opinion. Some scientists are speculating this as well, but again, the data, the science, it's still all coming in. It still really hasn't been figured out, but to jump to conclusions, to say we need authoritarianism, we need tyranny to solve this problem is absolutely ridiculous. It's a stupid idea, and it's an idea that Joe Rogan argued recently is hurting more people than actually helping more people. And I think that argument has a lot of merit to it.
Yeah. I'm still surprised how many people say that the vaccines are a way to end the pandemic, that they stop the spread of COVID. Like, so many people still say that. It's like, no, it's mainstream science that's not the case. That it slows the spread temporarily. That's the most accurate way to say it.
We've got, let me see if I can pull this, let me see if I can find this. Here we go. We got this story from from Sky News. Omicron variant highly infectious and booster jabs may need double dose, says Moderna CEO. It is a official Big Pharma narrative. Sky News, that you will need to get a double dose of the booster because of the new variant. So there's no slowing there's a slowing the spread, I guess, but there's no stopping it if this is our plan of action. And you've got a mainstream narrative from a lot of these people. It's like you mentioned earlier, Luke. They say just get the first shot and then we're good. Everyone will be fine. They said in New York City, the mandate was one shot at least. Now it's, you know, they're saying, okay, well, now get two doses for fully vaccinated. Then they said, we got to get your booster. Now they're saying, no, the third shot is not a booster. It's a normal part of the whole vaccine process.
Yeah.
And now imagine this. Imagine you got three shots already and they're saying that's not a booster. The CEO of Moderna is now saying you will need two more shots because of Omicron.
It's like a rainmaker selling umbrellas. That's my personal perspective on it. But again, we have to understand, who does this kind of benefit here? Where's the accountability? Where's the oversight? Where's people saying, hey, let's actually take a look at this and let's maybe see if some people are maybe motivated more by profit than they are about general health. And if we are interested in general health, shouldn't we have conversations about obesity? Shouldn't we have conversations about diet? And if you want to have a totalitarian response to this, sure, but if you're going to be attacking anyone, it should be maybe KFC, McDonald's, Burger King, especially if you're caring about people's health. But again, it's ridiculous to even think about it that way. And again, people's health is important, and the discussions about exercise, vitamin D, getting proper sleep, not being stressed out, making sure that you're living a life that is a healthy, happy one rather than just a wage slave one where you're indoctrinated by just horrible ideas and horrible foods that go into your system and make you a crappy, unhealthy, unhappy person. You know, if we want to start those conversations, we should have them. And I think we would have a far better effect at helping people when it comes to making people healthier than we would by just giving all of our full faith to Big Pharma, because as we know, they're treated like our overlords right now.
I'm not surprised that this CEO of a pharmaceutical company is suggesting that his vaccine is the way to go forward.
No. I'm not surprised that he's saying you actually need two.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a window maker, and have you considered putting two windows in the same place?
Right. The people, when there's a health crisis, you don't want to be looking to your pharmaceutical CEOs for the way forward necessarily.
Why do we sound like such leftists? Yeah. These big corporations are just trying to turn a profit, exploiting the health crisis, and we should. Yeah,
I mean, they were ready to go on this thing.
Yeah, where are the? This is the problem I have with like the left. Is that when we refer to the left, we are quite literally referring to leftist populists and the establishment, because for whatever reason, they're aligned on this one. Mm. You take a look at the most prominent personalities they have, and they agree on all this stuff. And I'm like, yo, how come you guys are pro Big Pharma now? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because, quite simply, the new generation of leftists, they were, you know, teenagers 10 years ago. So when the Occupy Wall Street types were out there saying, like, Big Pharma is bad, those people are now in their mid to late 30s. And these 20-something-year-olds who are on YouTube and pushing this politics of the far left were born into a world where Big Pharma is actually good. Martin Shkreli, awesome guy, apparently, I guess. Yeah. That's their position? Okay, sure.
And the record of some of these companies, record fines, bribing doctors, bribing regulators, buying off corporate media. I can name a lot of individuals. I can name a lot of multinational corporations that, of course, were guilty of this, but they have a criminal past. Mm. They're liable for causing real life human harm before. And for people to give them a pass, to a blind trust because, you know, there's a tragedy that's being exploited here is something that is worrying personally myself that I am concerned about from my own personal perspective.
Also the way that they're funding research too. Like I was listening to this one cardiologist in the UK that Majid Nawaz was interviewing, by the way. I don't know if you've seen his content lately. Majid on Twitter, he's been great on this. And the cardiologist was saying that 66% of academic research done on medical issues is funded by drug companies. So that creates a huge bias. So a number of researchers are unable to publish certain kind of research that goes against the efficacy of a certain drug that can lead to, I think Joe was pointing out recently on his podcast, Joe Rogan, several drugs, dozens of drugs that have been pulled off the market that were initially approved and led to so many excess deaths and injuries. And that was because the studies that were done that showed the efficacy were tainted by this influence from the drug industry, and it led to so many deaths and injuries.
You guys have seen the Brought to You by Moderna montage?
Oh, yeah.
CNN's New Day, Brought to You by Pfizer. And that shows, like, all of the media saying that. Yeah, man, when you have commercials, I think the United States is one of only, two countries that allow commercials for drugs.
It's insane.
And the best part about it, I love this, is that they don't tell you what the drugs do. Flornostrin, call your doctor to see if it's right for you. Like, they won't tell you what it is. But they want you to buy it.
Yeah, they'll show like an old woman and man dancing in the field in slow motion. This could be you if you just take our drug.
Restless leg syndrome? We have a solution. And then side effects include
Yo, that's a crazy
the food
thing.
That our other company sells you. Take our medicine that our other company sells you.
Are you feeling stressed? Take this.
It's a joke. Like people do sketches where it's like side effects may include, you know, explosive diarrhea. But like I saw an ad recently for some medication where they actually said, I verbally exclaimed in my living room when we were watching some show, and it was like, get this treatment, and the side effects include like bleeding heart or something, or just like some ridiculous thing where it was like, you know, blood clots and, you know, deep vein thrombosis and other, and like cardiac arrest. And I was like, why would you take that? It was like, do you have, you know, irritable bowel syndrome? Take this thing that can stop your heart. And it's like,
maybe not.
I don't know. Maybe you just got to go to the bathroom and, you know, like, because that side effects are crazy. Yes. I don't know, man. But you know what? You know what? Far be it from me, right? If somebody's got some kind of, you know, disease and they're suffering and they say, I'll take the risk if it makes my life better, that's between them, their doctor. Ultimately, they make a choice about what's right for their life.
Not commercials. Right. You're right. The United States and New Zealand are the only countries in the world that allow drug advertising on commercials right now.
And it's pretty much all you see, especially if you watch the corporate media. You just see pharma ad after pharma ad after pharma ad. Now, again, we also have to be intellectually honest here. Not all of Big Pharma's evil. Some of the stuff that they do produce does really help people, has revolutionized medicine, and has changed people's lives for the better. We have to admit that on a certain level, but there is a very sinister, nasty, disgusting element of it that literally profits off of human suffering, rather cures the symptoms than the cause, and is knowingly making money hiding real cures because of someone sitting at an office saying, I prefer money over human life. We saw that with the opioid epidemic. Mm-hmm. We saw that with institutions in this country being bought out by Big Pharma that literally turned a huge portion of this country into heroin addicts knowingly because of big money. And when you have that much of power, that much influence, that much harm caused by this industry, I'm sorry, you don't have my faith. You don't have my personal belief system in you. I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You don't deserve it.
Okay, Bernie bro.
It's true. It's true.
And then you got the prison industrial complex saying these working class, you know, family men who lost their jobs to the factories being shipped overseas, who then got hooked on opioids, should go to prison for it. Yep. And the police with smiles on their faces kicking the doors of the victims, working class people in this country, and send them to jail.
Yep.
Yeah, the whole system. But you know what the problem is? Yo, I can see it, right? Luke can see it. We can all see it. Big pharmaceutical companies exploiting a crisis, exploiting pain, pumping opioids into this country, the policies of the Democratic and Republican establishment extracting factories and jobs from this country overseas to make a quick buck, and the prison industrial complex, and we can all see it, and then the only thing we get is the left saying, communism is the answer.
More and government. More police officers. Oh, yeah.
Well,
more money for Big Pharma. More money for the big prison industries. More government intervention in our daily lives, which is insane.
I do support using the government's power to disrupt the monopoly of making pharmaceutical commercials legal. I would like the government to make them illegal like they did with the tobacco commercials in the 60s or whenever it was, the 70s. That is maybe a little socialist in me, but I think that there's a time and a place
that's
to use
socialist.
The heavy hammer of the government to prevent these private companies from taking over.
That's not socialist. That's something we can do reasonably as a people, as a community, as a country, as a nation, and be like, here's what we agree and don't agree on how these companies should function. I think regulations are fine. The problem is when they never get removed and they're outdated or broken in some ways.
Call.
So what ends up happening
sunset
is
clause.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We say, okay, we're going to try this out. We're going to do a 2-year, you know, ban on pharmaceutical commercials or something. And then we'll see how it happens. And if it's, and then in 2 years it sunsets, and then, you know, we'll have to re-vote for it or something like that.
And all the politicians that got bribed for 2 years by the pharma industry so that when they vote next time, they'll make sure.
No, it'll naturally sunset. It'll just disappear. The law will just be gone. That is a big problem. You know, the lobbying and all that stuff and the promises. There's no real way around it. Because they'll just be like, look, we can't give you anything, but when you're out in 2 years, we'll give you a high-paying job in the company. I just, you know, it's not socialist to say the prison industrial complex, well, actually, it's anti-socialist, or I should say. The government subsidizes private prisons, guaranteeing contracts. So you'll get a dude who is hooked on opiates because he was prescribed it. They get addicted where they're in extreme pain. They don't get any more. The doctor says, no, you're cut off, and they become desperate. They go through withdrawals and they could die from this. And so then they seek out non-legal methods for obtaining this to help themselves. Then they go to prison and the government says, we got no issue with that. Private prison system, here's somebody to throw into the machine and we will pay you for it. And what's happening is our tax dollars are paying for a broken machine that is not helping these people, that is only incentivizing this. So I'll tell you this, that's not capitalism. That's more akin to communism and socialism than capitalism. The problem is, first of all, most conservatives don't talk about this. They don't seem to care. Private prisons is not a big issue for them. Trump wasn't, you know, interested in prison reform. But when the left brings it up, they're like, this is a problem of capitalism. And I'm like, what about the government taking the money from the people by force to fund these corrupt prison systems is capitalism?
And creating absurd laws that put innocent people that didn't harm anyone behind jail. I mean, that absolutely makes no sense. I think a perfect meme that I saw that represents the larger ideas that you're trying to get across here, Tim, was a protester screaming that we need more government. And then there was a full on riot cop with pepper spraying her in the face. Nice. And then the pepper spray was more government. And she was getting all of it. Because again, you look at this kind of reciprocal cycle, they create all these stupid laws that create victimless crimes that put people in jail when they shouldn't be there. They come out worse criminals. They come out destroyed. They come out without having, their rights. They come out without, a sense of decency. They come out in a situation where they can't even probably get a job in most places. It's not always the case, but again, they create a situation that incentivizes some of the worst behavior in this world. And then we're asking ourselves, why do we have one of the largest prison populations? We wonder why. It's a big Donald, business, and people profit off of it.
Speaking of victimless crimes, brother, this morning I was looking at certain reports that were released from Austria showing that starting in February, people who don't take the vaccine might be incarcerated. Yep. Now, those are still preliminary. Yep. Those are still preliminary reports, but we do know for sure there's going to be a $4,000 fine starting in February for those people who don't get vaccinated. This is mainstream news, not conspiracy at all. It's incredible. Well, it's incredible that they can exercise that much control. Like across Europe, you're seeing that. Like in Slovenia, the small European country, they dabbled with the policy that people who were filling up on gas had to show their COVID certificate, otherwise they couldn't get their gas. But then there was so much backlash that they backtracked afterwards. But looking at Austria, the Czech Republic, Lithuania, and I believe Berlin, Germany as well, are considering mandatory vaccination, otherwise paying fines or even incarceration. It's crazy.
In the U.S. in 1905, there was a Supreme Court ruling that stated you could fine someone in your community if they don't get vaccinated. The fine was $5 at the time, the equivalent of about $150, but that was it. That's the argument used by many of these leftists to say, see, we've always had vax mandates. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I guess, but they were never able, my understanding is they weren't able to collect the money from him. That was the issue. He sued. He's like, I ain't paying you. You can't do anything about it. So, I mean, sure, I guess you can argue you can fine someone, but they can still say no. The ultimate issue was that they could try to compel you to do it, but ultimately could not force the needle into your arm. Now, the narrative from the left is like, we've always had vax mandates. What about schools? And it's like, you can choose not to go to the school. You can choose to move your kids. You can get a medical exemption or religious exemption. Now, they're outright saying, like Jim Cramer, just have the military mandate it. And in Australia, I think it's fair to say the Australian press and all these people are lying through their teeth. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I would actually say that's, in my opinion, circumstantial evidence to suggest everything we think about what's going on in Australia is probably a lot worse than it is. They admit they arrest three teenagers from escaping from the quarantine facility. Okay, if that's the case, and Claire Lehman and whoever else wants to argue that they're international arrival bungalows where people like hot babes are sunbathing, but then they'll also tell us you'll be arrested if you escape, I can only assume that it's substantially worse. They're probably just flogging people in their rooms. I'm kidding, by the way. I really don't think they're doing that. But if we know they're lying about everything, why would I even just give them the benefit of the doubt in any capacity?
So to me, this kind of smacks of an authoritarian government, because I remember when COVID first started, my friend looked at the numbers and said, oh, this is coming out of China. Those numbers are 10 times what they're telling us. And I was like, yes, absolutely. So like what you're saying right now, what Australia is admitting to is going to be very much a PR stunt. The fact that they're coming out and saying, oh, no, people aren't you know, being forced to do this or whatever, and sending all these awesome pictures of ladies in bikinis. Very strange advertising for these camps, but it's like, you're hiding something, you need to fess up, and they're never going to because they'll never be held to account, which is a little bit discouraging, but at least...
The fact that there's a marketing campaign with women in bikinis in government quarantine camps is creepier than the fact that there there wasn't.
It's just the hashtag, apparently.
Yeah. But the fact that people are collecting these and making articles and making stories about this, justifying this bigger power grab by government and not trying to hold the government accountable, not even talking about personal responsibility, is absolutely worrying. And we're seeing a lot of crazy stuff happening in Europe. Greece just made the vaccine mandatory for everyone over the age of 60. It's pretty much mandatory in Italy already. It's pretty much mandatory in France, but it's not really implemented because people are not going along with it. But in Italy right now, you can't board a plane. You can't board a bus. You can't board any kind of public transportation. You can't have any job, public or private, if you don't go through the government compliance and you get their approval and you get a paper saying, hey, I'm okay with being able to, you know, bow down to government. Then you could actually do all of those things, which is ridiculous.
Let's bring it back from Europe and Australia here to the United States. We have the story from the Huffington Post. Excellent source of news. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. Fauci says Omicron may not be big deal, but U.S. should prepare for the worst. He said the COVID-19 variant will inevitably come to the U.S. if it's not already here, and warned that it's going to have an advantage in transmissibility. It will never end. He says this is a clarion call, as far as I'm concerned, of saying, let's put aside all of these differences that we have and say, if you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you're fully vaccinated, get boosted, and get the children vaccinated also.
What?
Fauci, director of National Institute NIAID, said that though there is still much that is unknown about Omicron, it's actually Omicron, but we're making fun of Joe Biden, just so you know. Vaccines offer a proven level of protection. Level, they say. A level of protection, sure. But that's why he's saying get boosted, because the efficacy has waned. And there, and the, as we already mentioned in a previous segment, the Moderna CEO says, you got to get two. So it will likely turn into more than that. Quote, it may not be as good as protecting against initial infection, but it has a very important impact on diminishing the likelihood that you're going to get a severe outcome from it. I don't know. Ask Dan Bongino. He said he got a really bad, you know, reaction from it, and he's double vaxxed.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. SF Gate reports, San Francisco reports first U.S. Omicron case. Symptoms very mild. All right. Very mild is good. But prepare for the worst, says Fauci. What's the worst? Well, I can imagine for most people the worst would be a lockdown.
Right?
Yes, it's whatever each person wants to imagine. It's their own terror. It's their own fear. He's putting people in a state of fear. Prepare for the worst possible thing you can think of.
The best fear that the government could have is the fear of the unknown. Mm. And the more kind of unknown that this is, the more people's imagination plays on the best of them, including the larger guilt trips, the emotional manipulation, the trauma-based mind control, I like to call it, is essentially what people are going through. Fauci, by the way, was also joined by Obama yesterday, and they did a surprise visit at a D.C. elementary school. And they were meeting students and encouraging them to get the vaccine, and congratulating the children who did get the vaccine.
I think parents should be talking to doctors. And yeah. I'm really, what irks me about this is that you can't give medical advice on YouTube. Joe Rogan gets slammed in the media for saying his opinion on what he received. Joe Rogan does a video where he's like, here's the things I got. And they're like, bah. And then I do a video. I'm like, here's what I got. Here's my thoughts. I'm like, bah. And then they can come out and say, oh yeah, we want to encourage you to take all of this stuff. We don't know your medical history or not, but we're going to encourage this particular treatment for you. I'm like, no, we don't play that game. You don't get to argue that you get to advertise your preferred medical treatment, and then everyone else who might bring up their opinion on it gets banned. Mm. End of the day, anybody who just blindly goes for any medical procedure without consulting a medical professional they trust, and perhaps even getting a second opinion, is making a mistake, in my opinion.
Did you see what Bill de Blasio was saying to encourage kids to get vaccinated a couple months ago?
I think $100.
Yeah, $100. And he was saying you can buy a lot of candy with it. You can buy lots.
Jeez.
Oh my goodness. It's such a creepy way.
Look.
By the way, with kids, sorry, you want
to
go ahead?
No, I'm just gonna come down right to it and say, we need to stick to the freedom argument, personal liberty, individual choice. Because what's happening is, man, we're just slowly being pulled further and further into the mandates will happen no matter what. Because what happens is every day the media comes out with a new sensational fear-mongering story a new thing that gets everybody who opposes the mandates arguing about that. We are being dragged leftward.
And more commercials about the drugs. That's something I'm thinking about a lot.
I'm worried most about young people right now with the vaccine, with mandating it. And I mentioned the 44,000 kids in L.A. They're going to start mandating it in more and more schools. More and more kids are going to be kicked out and pushed to online learning where they're not going to have those real interactions that promote growth and in all sorts of ways. But I've interviewed several experts about vaccinating young people, including Dr. Jay Bhattacharya at Stanford, Martin Kulderoff at Harvard, multiple doctors, and they say that the myocarditis signal in young people is especially concerning. According to CDC data, I gave Lydia the link also in the email, but according to CDC data, the risk is about 1 in 5,000 for young men, specifically in between the ages of like 12 to 20. And so vaccinating, so 1 in 5,000 may seem like a small risk, but once you multiply that by millions of doses, then that adds up. And then you have, and by this is no exaggeration, in my own city in Chilliwack, I've heard of three cases of young boys who after the vaccine had a seriously adverse reaction and were in the hospital because of cardiac arrest due to the vaccine. Mm. I'm not saying don't get the vaccine for your kid. Doctors, you know, that I trust say if your kid has obesity, you know, you should consider it, or they, if they have cancer,
underlying conditions,
and things like that. When it comes to healthy young boys, though, a 1 in 5,000 risk is not trivial, and we shouldn't be mandating it at all.
I think this is why I want to get to again. It's like we shouldn't mandate anything. We shouldn't mandate chips. We shouldn't mandate vaccines. I'm not saying chips are happening. Calm down, media. But we have this story from the New York Times we briefly showed. The FDA is assessing whether the Moderna vaccine can cause heart problems in adolescents. Mm. They say the FDA is reviewing reports suggesting the coronavirus vaccine made by Moderna can cause heart problems in some adolescents, the company said on Sunday. This is not conspiracy. This is literally Moderna saying we have these reports. The FDA needs to review this. Moderna requested authorization from the FDA for its use in the vaccine from children ages 12 to 17 in June. The adolescents would receive 100 micrograms of the vaccine, the same dose given to adults 18 and above. But the agency has not yet made a ruling on the application, prompting speculation about reasons for the delay. In a statement on Sunday, Moderna said the FDA requires additional time to evaluate recent international analyses of the risk of myocarditis after vaccination. Okay, so if Fauci and Obama want to go to kids and say, go do this, and the FDA is literally like, we're going to review these reports, international reports about myocarditis, it is extremely irresponsible, and this is what pisses me off. I'm not going to recommend anything to anybody, but I certainly think it's fair to point out the New York Times has reported this. This is a month ago. They reported this, and the FDA is going to be evaluating these claims, and these claims exist. Now, by all means, when you talk to your doctor, show them this and make sure you get sound advice. And if you don't trust your doctor, get a better doctor. Mm. But the idea that politicians are going to go out and advise people on medical procedures, to me, is just insane. Mm. And more importantly, as an expert on freedom, I don't care what you want to mandate. Freedom.
There you go. Mm.
I have a right to my body, my autonomy. And we just had the Supreme Court. We probably should have highlighted this. Supreme Court's basically ending Roe v. Wade. This is the official narrative across the board from left-wing journalists to establishment corporate press that come June, Roe v. Wade will be done. And we'll talk about that in a second. And my attitude is, look, I don't like abortion used as contraception. I don't like the idea in any capacity that a life is being destroyed. But I err on the side of the government ain't got no business in my medical decisions or others. And that means if somebody has a legitimate reason they have to undergo an abortion, I don't think they should have a certificate filled out or have to get approval from the government for a medical procedure their doctor recommends. But it should be through a private doctor. That being said, I feel the exact same way about all the mandates. What pisses me off is that we don't have that consistency among the left. Mm. When the right came out and said, okay, my body, my choice, they said, you're liars. We don't believe you.
Yeah, also quickly, I want to say about the myocarditis risk. One of the interesting things is that the science doesn't change in terms of risk of myocarditis from country to country, yet the policy is completely different. Hmm. So in the U.S. and in Canada, you have the, well, in Canada specifically, you have the policy where young people over the age of 12 in BC and in Ontario have to be vaccinated. Otherwise, they can't go and exercise to a gym. They can't go to a bar, restaurants, etc. And from starting yesterday, you can't leave Canada because of the vaccine mandates. But in other countries, with young people, what they've done is, in many cases, they've suspended the Moderna vaccine because of the higher rates of myocarditis, as that piece was pointing out, by the way.
I think I actually, I have this here. This
Sweden, Denmark, Finland, a number of other countries have paused Moderna.
October 8th, CNBC, Nordic countries are restricting the use of Moderna's COVID vaccine. The decision to limit the use of Moderna vaccine centers around concerns it could be linked to cases of myocarditis. So this is, Moderna recognizes it.
Yep.
The FDA is looking into it. Nordic countries. This is all fact and very,
yep. You know. Also, they're finding that myocarditis is concentrated after the second dose in young men, not with the first as much. And because of that, countries like Hong Kong and the UK are only recommending one dose to young people. So think about that. Other countries who have their own legitimate health authorities are saying young people get one dose, okay? But countries like Canada, you have to get two doses, otherwise you can't go to the gym. In LA, if you're a young person, you have to get two doses, otherwise you're going to be kicked out of in-school learning. That's crazy. It's the same fucking science, but totally different public policy. Sorry, was I...
No, whatever, okay. Man.
They
whatever.
Do that with AIDS.
You were talking about a puck, right?
Yeah, like yeah.
In Canada, they have saying pucks. Pucks.
Yeah. AIDS, that's how AIDS is, too. They can measure HIV, but then every country has a different response to that, and that's what their AIDS thing. If you have pneumonia in a certain country and you have a high T cell count, that's considered AIDS.
It shows why it's political. It's politicized, right? It's the science is not just one thing. You can base policies off of this, you know, science that's growing, by the way. I like how the left, like, they view science as a very religious kind of system. Like, science, you're supposed to be, you know, constantly evolving and updating as you see new information. Like, this whole myocarditis risk was not known when the vaccines were initially released, right? But then we saw data from Israel coming out, and Alex Berenson was talking about this and other people, and they're like, no, that's conspiracy. Like, heart inflammation, come on. That's total bullshit. But then more and more information came out, more and more studies. There's also stuff happening with menstrual bleeding in women after the vaccine.
I don't know about that stuff, though. I looked into that. I didn't find anything on that.
Well, yeah, I know. I sent Lydia a link. Lydia, if you want to look at that, the menstrual bleeding.
Can I
say something about that issue specifically? Yeah. So a friend of mine in July, she's 17 or 18. She said she had this horrible menstrual bleeding after the vaccine. And I told her, it's probably not the vaccine. Like, come on, there's probably something else, right? And then another young female friend told me. And then I heard about it from another one. And then I started asking around. And I kid you not, almost everywhere I asked among young females.
That's a weird thing to ask women, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Quirks of being a reporter.
Yeah. But,
I'm reporting. How was your last cycle?
But I've heard of at least 20 young girls, like girls who tell me, like, yeah, all my friends, they had the same reaction, which is like crazy. And the NIH is actually funding research right now into looking at this specific risk with menstrual bleeding in women. And then also The Guardian and The New York Times have reported this, that in the UK, in their adverse reporting system, they were inundated with reports of young women having this menstrual bleeding issue. So it is a real thing that is being investigated. Therefore, another reason why mandates are stupid and
rushing vaccines has a risk.
We always have to make sure we consider what I refer to as the scaling problem, that as a system grows larger, the tolerance for error grows smaller. So if you give out 100 vaccines and one person has an adverse reaction, nobody cares. Oh, I heard Jim had a weird reaction. Oh, just Jim, huh? No problem. But that's 1%. You give out 100 million vaccines, and now you have a million people all talking about these stories, and everyone's like, what's happening? A million people had this same percentage of error. As the system grows larger, our tolerance for error diminishes, you know, proportionally. So what may be happening is that a lot of people are like, look at VAERS, the numbers are through the roof for adverse events. And I'm like, yeah, we also haven't had mass scale vaccinations globally or in the country like this too. So make sure you're looking at margins and not hard numbers. It would be like looking at New York City and being like, wow, they had 10,000 muggings. That's the highest in the nation. And then being like, yeah, but per 100,000 people, they have substantially less muggings. New York's got like 10 million people in the metro. Then you can look at these like small towns where per capita they have like 50 muggings. Like in West Virginia, they have seriously high crime, but very low population. So you'll get like 50 stories about muggings and you won't think twice about it. And then in New York, you have everyone you know has been mugged. It makes you think it's worse than it really is.
So it's important to look at the denominator, especially.
Exactly.
Not just the numerator when it comes to.
I am not saying ignore the data. I'm not saying ignore this. I'm saying literally take all of this, do research. Seriously, ignore the mainstream media when they're like, don't do your own research. No, do your own research. Make sure you have trust in yourself and your knowledge. Bring it to a doctor. You don't trust them. You get a second opinion, but make sure you know what you're putting in your body. Cause I'll tell you this. If you just go to someone and say, tell me what to do and I don't care, I'm not going to think twice, I think it's a bad idea. I think you have a responsibility for your health. And I also think you have a responsibility to seek out experts, which is your medical professionals, and find someone you trust. But it's a combination of things, man.
And all the liability is on you here. The people who produced it, the people who forced you to take it, your business, your boss, your government is not responsible. They have no liability here at all if something goes wrong. And there have been stories of a lot of people who've had problems. And again, you know, correlation does not prove causation. We need to be intellectually honest here. There's a lot of things that are still unknown here, but a lot of people who had complications were left with huge medical bills because they had to pay for all the problems and consequences that led up to this decision that was essentially forced onto them. And when that happens, you're making the decision that you're going to be responsible for no matter what happens, and no one's going to bail you out.
All right. Now we're going to get into the portion of the show that I saved for near the end because I knew it would consume probably the rest of the show. Would be like whenever we talk about Roe v. Wade or abortion, it like turns into this major long conversation. And so I was like, if we open with this, it's going to be an hour of debating abortion. So I don't know. Maybe we should have. It's the bigger news here. But ladies and gentlemen, from CNBC, Supreme Court conservatives look ready to gut Roe v. Wade during arguments in Mississippi abortion case. It was today. Mississippi wants to ban abortions after 15 weeks, and the Supreme Court heard oral arguments, and boy, did the left have almost no argument. Look, you guys know me. I'm pro-choice. I am not pro-abortion. The modern left, in my opinion, is pro-abortion, not pro-choice, and pro-choice is few and far between if it exists at all. I think the pro-choice individuals have more in common with pro-lifers, but they do disagree. I heard some of the arguments. You could listen to it. Chief Justice Roberts made excellent points, and he did compare the U.S. to other countries, and he still made good points. The left seemingly had no real argument, and it got to the point where a reporter from Slate tweeted, the arguments are in. The Supreme Court will overturn Roe v. Wade in June 2022. He then deleted the tweet and said too many people thought it was a statement of fact. He's like, what I'm saying is it's a prediction. These are leftist reporters. The NBC News tweeted, it appears the conservatives are going to repeal something. I'm paraphrasing, repeal or strike down Roe v. Wade. There are 12 states with what's called trigger laws, which means as soon as Roe v. Wade is overturned, they instantly go into effect. They've already been passed and abortion will be immediately banned. It is believed that many more states will then ban abortion, and you will have blue states that allow it, red states that don't. I'm trying to say it again. We don't know what's going to happen. It might not. But based on what the justices were arguing, Kavanaugh, man, he hit it out of the park, and I have to agree with him. He said, I'll paraphrase. He was like, you haven't presented an argument as to why this is an issue for the Supreme Court. Yes. This sounds like something Congress needs to address. And I'm like, he's right. The Supreme Court shouldn't be deciding whether something is banned or not banned. Congress needs to pass laws legislating this stuff. On that alone, and also listening to the argument from the Solicitor General, who is like defending Roe v. Wade, she was just saying like the right to abortion is in the 14th Amendment. And I think it was Clarence Thomas who was like, what? I can read the Second Amendment that says something. I don't know what you're getting at with that. So yeah, this seems like the end. I know Luke was celebrating earlier.
I don't know about that. I saw some weird videos on Twitter today of women taking, I think it was abortion pills.
Claiming to
or doing it. I don't know, but it's such a complicated debate. There's so much emotion involved in this. It's I don't think people celebrating abortions is something that is tasteful, to say the least. It's something that was very concerning to see. And, you know, there's different aspects. There's different places where you could be on the spectrum here. And there's, of course, people arguing that if you do take an abortion, you are killing a life. And therefore, you are trampling on somebody else's life. So that's where the argument gets complicated.
All right, Luke. So what's your position?
I honestly want to do more research into this. I don't want to make a conclusion because it's a question that's very difficult to answer. And not having done enough research on it, I don't feel well versed to espouse any opinions on it, honest with you.
So what you're saying is that you're sitting back as babies are being murdered and you're okay with that?
There's a nice fence that I see here it's nice to sit on some fences sometimes.
But being
honest here, you know, there's things that I believe personally and there's things I believe the government should be involved in. I don't think the government should be involved in anything. But people are arguing that when you're committing an abortion, you are killing another individual. And that argument is compelling to a lot of people. And I think it should be an argument that should be talked about more.
Well, I think cutoff time is important. Mm-hmm. Like after how many weeks? And I remain hesitantly pro-choice on this issue. I don't really publicly share my opinions on this like Luke here. but I think it's, 12 weeks for when the baby has a heartbeat, I believe. That seems to be potentially a logical cutoff. Like after 12 weeks, then potentially maybe we shouldn't be able to, or maybe a bit after that. I don't know. But it's a matter of having a reasonable cutoff point, which we can debate about.
I know Luke's trying to be careful here, but the reason is, you know, before the show, he actually confirmed to me he's pro-death.
Not
pro-life at all. He's like, send them all to the camps, to the gulags. There's no fence on this issue. It's one of the hardest issues ethically.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, reading a lot about Roe v. Wade and, the initial rulings. Basically, the idea is, it's insanely complicated. You can't, what they're saying is, they don't want you to be able to abort after the fetus is viable. Because at that point, you're dealing with a self-sustaining, independent life. Mm. Before that, the baby is not able to live outside.
How many weeks are we talking?
24. Okay. On. And I guess initially, during the initial arguments in Roe v. Wade, it was like 26 and beyond was viable. And now with medical technology, it's gone on 24. Yeah. And so, you know, pro-lifers are basically like, don't abort for any reason. And what's happening now in Mississippi is they're saying after 15 weeks, you can't get an abortion. John Roberts was talking to the Solicitor General. And he was like, if you're talking about the issue of choice, I don't understand how 15 weeks is not adequate time to make a choice. And she did not have an argument. Mm-hmm. And he brought up European countries. He said in many European countries, they have, you know, less time than we do. And then she lied and said, no, they allow abortion up to the point of viability.
That's not true.
And it's not true at all. Not at Europe all. Is actually very strict. I think 12 weeks.
Much
in
more
Europe.
So than yeah. the US.
Why have they chosen 15, by the way, here? What's the rationale behind 15?
That's the heartbeat, right?
Yeah, I think so.
15
think
is around the time. 15, 16 is around the time the heartbeat is detectable.
I thought it was 12 for heartbeat. But
maybe you're right.
I think it's also important for people to distinguish what they believe personally and what would they rather have the government do. Personally, I'm not a fan of government. But personally, if I had a situation where, you know, I was potentially having a child, I would do everything in my power to have that child, and I would do everything to make sure that there wasn't an abortion. Personally, speaking from my own personal perspective, that's what I would do.
There's an interesting argument in this whole debate that basically came up, and it's if a woman is pregnant with a baby and the baby is not able to sustain itself, then I don't think it's the state's right to determine that someone has to share their body with someone else. But the issue for me is if a woman has to go to a doctor and the doctor says something like, look, you've got this, you know, problem. It's a serious health issue and it could kill both of you. And we're worried about this. Understanding the argument, because I've talked to Seamus from Freedom Tombs a lot about this a lot. And he's like, doctors can be wrong about that and often will pressure towards abortion. But that argument aside, if this woman has a serious medical issue, it's traumatizing, it's serious, I don't like the idea that she goes to the government and seeks out approval or paperwork. However, if we're at a certain point where on average the baby is viable, you are now asking to terminate a sustainable life form. You are now saying to the government, I would like to kill this life. Okay, at that point, I think it's even absurd that you can go to the government, request mm-hmm. termination of someone else. If the baby can live outside the womb, then I don't understand why we don't just say, okay, well, we're going to take the baby out of the womb and let it live.
Well, what is life? I mean, just lay there in a cradle until it starves to death, or are we having someone take care of it?
They put it in the premature baby incubation.
Someone's got to feed it and like take care of it. Someone's got to start mothering it immediately when it's removed from the womb.
These are tough moral questions, Ian. What's the alternative? Yeah. We say we have this baby. Let's say you have a full term baby, fresh out of the womb, and then you're like, well, who's gonna feed it?
Yeah,
I won't. So what do you do?
No, well, there's also a lot of people who can't have children and wish they can have children, and they wish they could adopt, but our adoption system is absolutely crazy to the point where many Americans are literally going to China and Russia in order to get babies there because the process is so much easier and simpler to do it over there than to jump through all the government hoops here in the United States that actively intervenes and you know, some would argue prevents people from being able to adopt children here in the United States. So there's also arguments for that as well. And again, this is a very difficult discussion. A lot of emotion here. You know, life, you know, how does it begin?
I mean, life that's begins at conception. That's, end of story.
Life is pretty, you know, precious in my opinion, and so should be preserved at all costs.
This is a very sensitive issue. And we already got a super chat where they're like, long story short, Tim's hypocritical for opposing the death penalty, but for being pro-choice. I am pro-abortion. I think killing is wrong. I think using abortion as contraception is disgusting. The problem is saying to the government, you have a right to be in the doctor's room with a person to demand their papers. I don't think it should be allowed for vaccines. I don't think it should be allowed for when you have to go to a doctor and you say, yo, my life sucks. I have this serious problem. And I think about the challenge here in that there are a lot of women who are crying saying, please, please save my baby. And the doctor saying, ma'am, I can't. It's ectopic. It's not going to work. And then he's like, now in order to save you, fill out this government form and go talk to your local politician about why this is what you need to do. I don't like the idea of the government being involved in that. I certainly despise to a great degree that people abuse the system to be like, accidentally got pregnant. Instead of using birth control, I'll just kill it. That's screwed up. That's bad and wrong. And then I sit there like with my head shaking, like, how do you reconcile this? I cannot entertain the idea of the government being given authority over our bodies and having a right to be in these medical rooms. There is an interesting argument, though, about the time duration. There's no middle ground here. This is the challenge here. I think killing is wrong. I think there are certain circumstances where you have to, and it's unfortunate. Kyle Rittenhouse shouldn't have had to kill the people he did, but he was defending himself. And I don't think he should go to prison for it, and I wish those people didn't lose their lives, no matter how awful they are. Sometimes you have no choice. If there is a woman who has a serious medical issue, a legitimate one, I'm not talking about stupid lies or arguments or whatever. I'm talking about legitimate, like, yo, the heart is busted up and it's not going to survive and it might kill you too. And the mother is crying, begging for help, saying, please don't let this be true. And now she's got to go to the government for approval. Man, screw that. I'm not all about that. I think that's ridiculous that Kyle Rittenhouse had to justify to a court with a threat of life in prison because he was simply trying to save his own life. And I view the issue very similarly when it comes to legitimate arguments from women who are dealing with this stuff. It is very, very difficult to reconcile. I can fully admit, hands down, Michelle Wolf and Lena Dunham, these people sicken me when they're celebrating this stuff and cheering for it. And women are standing outside of courtrooms taking pills, mocking it. But the problem is, you know, I'll tell you this. This is not a problem. It's really simple. A pro-choice position is ridiculously close to the pro-lifers. Mm-hmm. They're both saying, man, we really hate this. And the pro-lifers are like, well, we don't want there to be any excuse for why they're going to get away with doing this. And many of the pro-choicers, the legitimate ones, are like, man, but getting the government involved. And then you have the pro-abortion people, which is the modern mainstream left, and they're celebrating this trash. So look, I don't want the death penalty. I don't want abortions. I recognize sometimes people die. I recognize sometimes there are abortions. I don't have all the answers morally, but I just don't like the government getting involved in people's business.
Yeah, I think also, to add to your point, I think you're absolutely right. And it's important to look at costs and benefits for when implementing a policy. You can't just look at the benefits and the costs, or sorry, just the benefits or the costs. Like when it came to COVID, people were all about lockdowns, and obviously they save lives. That's true. When it comes to COVID, but when it comes to the economy, then it's totally different calculation. So in this case, you know, allowing, you know, being pro-choice doesn't mean that you're pro-abortion. It's just that you think that government mandates and government power in this case is more dangerous than certain people abusing that choice. So you're looking at the cost and deeming that to be more dangerous than the benefit.
There's an interesting potential argument here as well. What if there was no government involvement in any abortion, but the doctor did have to have a legitimate reason?
How about that? That's a good idea.
Well, you know, there's different spectrums here, and I think one of the worst ones was what happened when a lot of very powerful eugenicists in the United States implemented a one-child policy in the United States and had a situation where the government there was forcing people to have abortions because they didn't want them to have more than one child. So that's the inverse of a situation where the government got involved in abortions but made it mandatory for almost everyone to take it if they wanted to have a second child. There's also a lot of very dark history when it comes to Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, how it started, a lot of letters by Margaret Sanger that are absolutely troubling, that are absolutely worrying. And when you really delve into a lot of government intervening in this specific realm, I think it highlights a very sinister, dark past that is worth conversing and understanding before kind of jumping into this position, because I think it does play into the government's role here.
This is such an impossible moral conundrum.
To be completely honest.
I mean, let's imagine a rape victim, someone who was not irresponsible, someone who did not make that choice, who is now being told by the government, you are obligated to share your body and blood. Your bodily autonomy is hereby revoked. You are now, you know, to provide for this other life.
If the girl wants to kill the baby, she's going to kill the baby, whether the government tells her it's legal or not. I've heard anecdotal stories of people going to like back alleys to get these black, dark abortions under the table illegally. And like, she gets hurt during the thing because it's not done on the up and up. She takes some sort of injury. Like, you're not going to stop it. It's been going on since the dawn of humanity, whether we've been destroying babies that aren't viable. Like, they come out and they're crippled or something, and they would kill the baby, and then
the Spartans, man.
Yeah.
They would just like leave it in the woods, right, and see if it survived.
To play devil's advocate on that argument, though, like that, from what I've read, the mm-hmm. rape cases are only about 1% of
yes.
cases for abortion.
Thank you.
So some people say that you shouldn't base policy based on the 1% of cases.
I don't think rape is an excuse for killing a baby, for terminating the life. Mm. I think the problem, though, is there's a lot of very serious philosophical arguments about responsibility and choice. A lot of people immediately go to, how could you be against the death penalty, but for abortion? It's like there's completely different philosophical arguments there.
I think you're mansplaining too much, Tim. What about the guys who get pregnant? And what does the woman here think about this debate, Linda?
Oh, boy, Luke, you triggered a firestorm here, because I've been sitting listening and I've been thinking how wonderful it is that I've been able to maintain my silence as long as I have. This is like my hill to die on. This is what I really care about. And you're correct that a vanishingly small number of abortions are in fact committed because they are a result of rape or incest. I use numbers from the Guttmacher Institute, which is what Planned Parenthood uses for their numbers. So they err on the side of maybe trying to pump those numbers up to kind of support the idea that abortion is actually medically necessary. And I agree with Tim, because I know people who are the result of rape, and they are wonderful people. They were adopted by people who care very much about them, and of course they would much rather be alive than be dead.
And that's why I said,
right,
I think the conservatives who argue the rape or incest exemption, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
I don't see how it's the baby's fault that they were conceived through rape. However, there's an issue of someone being forced to share their body with someone else. So if the government came to me right now and said, we're going to hook up your blood to Ian because Ian needs your blood to live, I'd be like, hell no.
Right.
And they'd be like, well, you should have been more responsible. I didn't choose that.
Right.
So that's the personal autonomy problem. Further, the problem arises that, yeah, 1% is, you know, but, and so I think it's 99, isn't it like 99% of abortions are no reason given?
Elective. Yeah. Either no reason given or elective.
I think abortion as contraception is wrong. But I don't know how you deal with it then when someone just can walk in there and be like, rape.
Yeah.
And then what do you do to the actual rape victims who are like, you can't force me to share my body with somebody else. I didn't choose this. I don't have the answers, man. No. I'm just like,
I think one of the most compelling arguments on the pro-life side is what Luke was alluding to earlier. And I've looked at the data on this, that there is actually higher need for adoption than there is actual supply. For when it comes to very young children, I believe that changes for kids after the age of like 6, like there's an abundance of kids in foster care homes who aren't able to find parents to adopt them. But when it comes to really young infants, from what I understand, there's a huge, huge need, but it's not met with the same level of supply. So arguably you could say that we should, you know, have pro-life policy and let people give birth to kids and give it off to adoption, because there are so many parents, gay couples also, who are looking to adopt, and it's very, very hard because there's a very, very low supply.
I do think that one of the things that we could do to help solve the problem of abortion is to reform the adoption system, make it simpler. So one of the problems with Roe v. Wade is that it never should have been legislated at the federal level, because what they found was that abortion was becoming more socially acceptable before they passed Roe v. Wade. If they had gone state to state and said, do you guys want abortion? And each individual state had used their 10th Amendment rights to say, we do want it, we don't want it, because this is not, in fact, a duty left to the federal government by the Constitution, thereby meaning it should be left to the state. There are no emanations and penumbras in the 14th Amendment that say that a woman should be allowed to remove her child's body from her body by force if necessary. So I think that you're correct that it is very nuanced, and I hate to see leftists being so insane, but I thank them for making my case for me, because no one can look at these women standing on the steps of this building taking these abortion pills and just shouting their abortion. It's
Phil Abanti, from All That Remains, tweeted that if there's one issue that's going to push moderates to the conservatives, it's the issue of abortion.
Correct.
Because the leftist argument on all this stuff is like, I mean, it's evil. It is amoral. It is unethical. It is evil. They don't treat life with value.
Right.
And look, I get it. When they talk about moral relativism, oh yeah, I think it's a real thing. And I think when you have a bunch of people who lack a moral framework, they have no problem literally killing, burning down buildings and celebrating it. And we've seen that with the riots all throughout last year. 25 directly dead as a result of the George Floyd riots, and not an ounce of remorse. In fact, they still celebrate it. Aaron Danielson? That was his name? The guy in Portland who took two to the chest?
Mm, yeah.
They cheered for it.
Yeah.
When what happened after Charlottesville? Everyone on the right mourned and said, this is terrible.
Right.
We're shocked by this. It's because you look at the moral foundations of these people and they don't have any. We talk about, you know, care and fairness. No, whatever the modern leftists are, they are just a chaotic, destructive force. They have no principles. There is no logic. I'm not talking about literally everyone on the left. I'm talking about the weird cultist, woke, whatever, cheering for death, taking abortion pills, celebrating the stuff. That's just amoral outright. And to me, overtly evil. My issue is just like, wow, I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to respect everybody. But boy, is it hard when you have a woman who is an autonomous life form with rights and a baby who is an autonomous life form with rights. And how do we reconcile that with what the government gets to do? Ben Shapiro, brilliant argument that if there's one thing the state does do, it's protect life. In which case, when it comes to the issue of a child, a baby, which, and life does begin at conception, any other argument otherwise is a ridiculous political argument, then the government should be involved in whether or not life is terminated. Now I want to address that one very, very seriously, because when the sperm and the egg come together, you get unique DNA. And from that point on, there is a unique set of DNA that is new life. The new life is now created. When we had Vosh on the show, he was talking with Charlie Kirk, and he was asked, when does he think life starts? He was like, birth? And I'm like, so if the baby is not born from the woman, it's like not alive? But you can have a baby at 8 months be removed via C-section, and it's alive and self-sustaining. Why is birth the point? What does traveling through the vagina and the vulva have to do with whether or not this baby is literally living?
Right.
I've heard from people that say 3 months. 3 months is when life starts, because babies can't remember anything before that. And I'm like, so people who have, you know, serious amnesia issues or short-term memory issues and can't remember things aren't alive? It's a ridiculous argument. Life begins at conception. It's a political argument to say otherwise. Moving on from there, you have a very serious conundrum of who gets to decide when a life is terminated. I don't like the death penalty and I don't like abortion, but
sure,
I recognize death and abortion.
You get a couple of skin cells in a petri dish, it's alive. It's not a human. I think that's, when does it become a human is the debate.
I think is the skin going to grow and become?
Unknown.
Human? Well, the answer is no, Ian.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Not.
It's still a lot.
No, we do.
Wait, what do you mean?
Skin
I'm not talking
cells,
about,
skin
I'm talking
cells,
about when does the baby in utero become a human? Like at what point do we say, it's alive from conception, I agree, living muscle tissue. But at what point do we acknowledge human? Is it a heartbeat? Is it a brain? 3 weeks,
I think
9 weeks,
conception.
12 weeks.
So,
well, it's not really human at that point yet, though.
So this is such an interesting argument, because if you watched a dog sperm meet a dog egg, Would you ask the question, is that a dog? Would there be any doubt in your mind that a little puppy would result from that union? Probably not. I don't understand why we do this with humans and not
with animals. Ian, the reason I disagree with you is that it would be like looking at a child and being like, it's not a human because, we don't know that it'll become a mature adult who can reproduce.
No, it's a zygote. If you look at a zygote.
You're arguing a different stage of human life doesn't mean it's human.
You don't know what it's going to become yet when you're looking at a zygote. Unless you know that it was a human sperm and egg or a dog sperm and egg, you don't know what it's going to turn into.
So I think in Ian's defense, I think the differentiation you're trying to make potentially is in terms of like pain perception, potentially you could say. At what stage does the fetus like feel pain and it's actually different?
I mean, arguably. That argument is like Terry Schiavo. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, I do remember that.
A person in a vegetative state isn't alive?
Oh.
What if someone's in a coma? They can't respond to stimuli. You're just like, meh, they're dead. We have no idea if they'll come to, and then a week later they wake up
they're
and say,
well,
they're
still alive.
But sperm and egg versus an actual fetus that has a heartbeat, like in terms of feeling pain after you terminate it, would be different.
I'm saying I don't think pain is relevant to the conversation of whether someone has rights. There are people who literally can't feel
pain.
I'm
saying arguably in terms of suffering, if we're measuring based on suffering.
But I don't think we are.
Okay.
If an old man is comatose, you know, guy in his 60s is comatose, he has rights. And I think there's an interesting question about are we obligated to give him life support? And the answer to that is probably no, but we can, and maybe it's the right thing to do. I don't think healthcare is a human right. If there's someone lying on the ground in the woods and they're comatose, you can be like, they will die. Like without assistance from someone else, they have no right to it, but we do want to save them. When it comes to, my point is that pain is not relevant to whether or not we want someone to live or they have the right to live or anything like that. Just because someone can feel pain or can suffer doesn't mean we let them die. We usually choose to preserve life.
But obviously there is a difference, morally speaking. There is some difference there.
I don't agree.
In terms of how much harm you're inflicting on just an egg and a sperm versus an actual fetus, you know, 20 weeks in.
Obviously
there's a difference. I'm not saying that that's a big difference, but
It is fair to say that we as a culture treat fertilized eggs very, very differently than we would like an actual baby. If a woman, you know, has a fertilized egg and then miscarries and doesn't know what happened and just, you know, it just flushed out of the body, there's no murder trial. There's no murder investigation. If she gives birth to a baby and then something happens and the baby dies in the crib, the cops are going to come and try and figure out what happened. So there's a certain point where the government would intervene and wouldn't intervene. That being said, I think the government is doing a heck of a bad job, and that's why I don't like them. I don't like the government and the system in a lot of ways and a lot of things they do.
So one of the things that I was going to add to Luke's point from earlier was that I feel like a lot of this would be resolved if we reduce the size of the government and reduce their overreach. If we kind of scaled back the involvement that they have in the adoption process, if we scaled it all the way back from telling what they can and can't do, if we left it to doctors, if we left it to mothers. But at the end of the day, I have to say that I genuinely feel that this is a cultural problem, and we need to fix the culture.
Figured it out.
What?
You just got to pull a Trump, a big ask, right?
Oh,
do you guys know what the big ask is?
Nice, yeah.
So a big ask, read Art of the Deal, right? That's Trump's book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like, you know, maybe I want to sell. What's a good example? I want to hire you to do a job. And so, what you do with the big ask is you'll say, "Okay, I'll do this job." What you really want is $50, but you know, if you start with 50, I'm gonna negotiate down. So you say, "I want 500," and then I go, "Whoa, that's crazy!" And then you go, "Well, 500's my number," and then I say, "I can't do that." And you go, "Okay, fine." What if we do 3? No, 3's still nuts. Well, now you're getting me down a lot, bro. Will we do 250? All right, 250. The big ask is you ask for way more than you want, so you negotiate down to where you really want to be. It's simple. All we have to do is have someone campaign on forced abortion.
That way,
everyone freaks out. And I'm kidding.
The China policy.
The China
policy. Ted Turner liked that one. So did Bill Gates' dad, who was connected to Planned Parenthood. Again, there's so much things I can talk about
interesting.
This. But that's not a policy that's too absurd, Tim. That's a policy that many people have argued for.
They're doing it right now in China in the Uyghur camps.
Yeah. Well,
these are everyone needs to realize, because someone brought this up. They said that viability is actually, you know, getting like at 15 weeks, there's been a case where a child, you know, a 15 week, you know, fetus has survived. And so with modern technology, eventually abortion will be made illegal because a fertilized egg will be viable in right technological settings. Think about what that means when it comes to transhumanism. These arguments are going to get crazier and crazier. We don't even know. Because when we talk about forced medical procedures like government mandates, I brought up earlier today, and I have to, it's Star Trek, when I think it was Data talking to Geordi LaForge. For those that aren't familiar, Data is an android. He's a robot. I mean, he's superior. He's stronger. He's faster. He doesn't sleep. And Geordi has cybernetic eyes. He's blind. So he has a prosthetic visor he wears that gives him enhanced vision. And he's asked, I think it's by Data. It's been a long time since I saw the episode. But he's asked, you know, are your eyes superior to regular humans' eyes? And he says, well, yeah. He's like, I can see x-rays, infrared. And then he says, then why is it not mandatory for all humans to have those implanted in them? And it's like, well, because people, you know, have individual autonomous rights. Mm. When we get into the policy where it's like, the COVID vaccine is going to keep you safe and keep others safe, so you have to get it. And I'm like, yeah, so we're wearing a bulletproof vest 24/7. Are you going to mandate that?
Yeah, as we develop technology, viability could become like a day. Yeah. You could have an egg and a sperm meet, and they're like, we have the technology to now gestate this in a machine. And then it's going to be like, you, citizen, you are required to deposit your sperm as per government regulation. Like, how?
They're doing that in China. They have sperm catching machines at hospitals that literally men walk up to, and they have a huge population. What?
Someone corrected me. It was Data and Picard.
Oh,
okay. Nice.
No, this is important. I'm sorry, Luke.
Picard's the moral judge.
It's the episode, I think it's called Make of a Man, where the philosophy of the show is brilliant. Data's an android, and they're questioning whether or not he has human rights, whether or not he's worthy of civil rights, or he's just a washing machine, or he's just a computer. And so he says to Picard, he's like, are Geordi's eyes not superior to, you know, human eyes? And he's like, well, yes. And he's like, then why is it not mandatory? Making an important point about bodily autonomy.
Interesting.
I would argue that Chinese man-sucking machines are a lot more important than this kind of nerd talk, personally, myself. That's what me and Ian were just talking about.
You know,
they have a population crisis, and the Chinese have literally developed man-sucking machines that take out the sperm, and they're building databases on women and fertility in Beijing. It's absolutely crazy what's happening in China because of that one-child policy that has absolutely really messed things up socially in China. But that's a whole nother topic.
All right.
It's a good one.
Let's take super chats. If you haven't already, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and go to timcast.com, become a member. We're going to have a members-only segment coming up around 11 or so p.m., but let's read some of these super chats.
Yes.
And Josh Martinez says, for goodness sake, Tim, not a single pro-life person has ever said you should have to petition the government to get an abortion, not ever. Well, let me ask you, Lydia, would there ever be a circumstance in which abortion is allowed under your ideal system?
Yeah, actually there is one instance in which abortion should be a possibility, and Seamus disagrees with me on this. I think, and this is what my parents thought as well, they were even way more conservative than I am, if it threatens the life of the mother. That's it.
And so if it's illegal in all other contexts, how does the mother get that abortion performed?
There's an exception? I don't know.
So will the doctor just be like, I've decided there's an exception and we're going to do it?
No,
or the doctor have to get approval from the government?
Yeah, so typically I would imagine that would be more than one doctor would need to confirm that this is actually the case, like she had an ectopic pregnancy. And then from there on, I don't know if they'd have to go to the government. It might be like a county or state thing where they'd need to submit a request and then go through and figure out what to do.
I think it's entirely possible to argue it's just three separate doctors from three separate practices, you know, three independent, you know, are confirmed by an arbiter. An arbiter, there has to be an external party is the issue.
Right.
Someone else, because you could have three doctors who collude and be like, we'll work together and just claim the same thing and no one can stop us. So you would need a third party, in which case, who appoints the third party and regulates them? My issue is I don't see a way this is accomplished unless there is government regulation directly involved and someone working at the behest to be the arbiter.
Right. I do think there needs to be some level of organization like that. And this is making me wonder if there's any other kind of procedure that they do in hospital. I know I worked in a hospital, but I didn't work in administration. So I don't know if there are other procedures that you have to ask the government if you can do something. That would be interesting to look into. I'll have to check that out.
I mean, maybe it really is just the compromise of we recognize some doctors might collude, but we accept it as reality.
Yeah.
In which case, there doesn't need to be government involvement. There just needs to be three doctors who confirm and agree. But then, man, there's still the challenge of the individual who says this is not an issue of irresponsibility or choice. I'm being forced to carry another life against my will.
I think that at the end of the day, one of the nuances we need to look at is the fact that we're not going to be able to make a perfect system.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And I think that's just something we're going to have to live with, unfortunately.
You know, maybe what we do is we just create Ultron.
Yeah, you know? There you go.
The way to bring about peace in a perfect system and to end all human strife is to end humans.
Like
Bender says in Futurama,
yeah.
You know?
Kill all humans, yeah.
I think Bill Gates would agree with that.
Bill Gates is watching Futurama and he watches Bender go, kill all humans. And he goes, I like this guy. The coaster guy says, bold of them to assume the military would run it well. I was vaccinated through my job in the Guard. They lost my records twice and then reprimanded me for not being vaccinated.
Wow.
I love people who just believe that the government can run things properly.
Obviously.
These leftists who are like, we want universal health care. And it's like, imagine the DMV regulating your health care.
That was like Kramer. It was like, we'll get the military to do it.
Mm.
That'll come on, dude. Have you seen the way they administrate stuff? He probably hasn't.
No, have you been to the DMV?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, man.
Known for its.
I got to be honest. The DMVs out here in West Virginia are pretty good. They're fast. It's not. It's
they're
population
like
density that really, really messes things up. You get in these cities. In New York, it was a disaster. Yeah. I bought a moped. And I called and I'm like, does this have to be registered? They did yes. And I said, how do I do it? And they were like, just bring in the bill of sale, the receipt, bring it to the any DMV, we'll take care of you. And I went in there and not a single person understood how to deal with it. They were all confused and they were all asking each other. And then eventually they were like, we can't do it. And then I was like, then how do I ride my bike without a plate? And they were like, you can't. And I'm like, well, it sounds like a you problem. And they were like, can't help you, sir. And so I was like, okay, great. Thanks, government. Now I got to deal with cops who are going to be like, I don't care why.
Right.
The law is, the law is. So basically mopeds are illegal. They're not, by the way.
Yeah.
How did you resolve that?
I rode my bike without a license plate.
Mm.
Did you ever end up getting one?
No.
Dang, that's a guy.
Breaking the law.
Yeah, well, the problem was, I think, I don't know the exact words of the law, but because of the pedals, that arguably it was a gray zone. And so I was like, look, if the DMV tells me there's no way to register it and they can't and it's not illegal, then I'm like, okay, then I guess I'll just ride it.
So there were pedals on it. So they were like, it's not a motorcycle. Okay.
They told me they did not know how to register it and didn't think it could be done.
What the heck?
And thus they didn't think it was regulated under, you know, those laws or whatever. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it is and I have to do it. And they were like, well, we don't and we can't, so we think you're fine. And I was like, okay. I never got pulled over.
Did it smell like baby diapers in there when you were in there?
No.
Those really, the really deep inner city
specific.
DMVs tend to smell like baby diapers.
Huh, interesting.
DeBob says, FB is allowing Rittenhouse praise and discussion. I wonder if they'll remove my rolling suspensions for sharing memes. 30 days plus 30 days plus 30 days each.
Mm.
Yeah, man. All right.
You think that's bad? Wait till the metaverse hits.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you know, I'll briefly mention this, too, because someone mentioned Lauren Boebert. I think she very poorly handled the Ilhan Omar thing. I think, like, dude, you made a joke. That's it.
Yeah.
And, like, Nancy Pelosi is like, and she's screaming. I would be the worst member of Congress ever if I was ever in there. Because I'd make jokes all the time, and then they were like, apologize. I'd be like,
just ignore it.
And moving on. And they'd probably kick me out. They legit would kick me out. Like, I wouldn't dress up. I'd tell them to shove off. I don't know. I think Lauren shouldn't have apologized. I think she shouldn't have even tried. I think she should have been like, ha-ha, I told a joke at you know.
I wouldn't have responded.
Yeah, I know. Eric A. says, there's a clip from 10 years ago of Jim Cramer talking about things he would do to manipulate the market when he was a hedgie.
Ooh.
Said it required someone to enforce the rules. Felt like I had to take a shower after watching it. Ugh. You see that hedge fund billionaire who said there's going to be a civil war?
No.
Yeah, he's worth $20 billion. And
oh,
he said in the next 5 years, there's a 30% chance of a civil war-like conflict in the United States.
Seems higher than that, but okay.
He makes his money off of predictions.
Huh.
Literally, that's what Forbes said. He places investments in bets and then makes money off of them. And he's one of the most successful guys doing it. And he thinks a civil war is coming.
Oh, boy.
What a crackpot.
Yeah.
The stupidest thing ever. There's no reason for people to fight. I'm going to say it. In the Civil War, the American Civil War, there was a strong moral issue. The North despised slavery. It was moral. The South, it was an issue strongly of convenience for them and state rights. But they didn't view it as a moral repugnancy. They were just like, hey, we can do what we want. people in the North were legit like, I will storm my way into your state and literally kill people to stop slavery. There are a lot of abolitionists who are like morally driven. The issue of abortion. Let's say come June 2020, Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. All the red states ban abortion. All the blue states don't. People in the red states, for the most part, those that are pro-life, have a strong moral position. It is wrong and it must be stopped. But the pro-abortion people and many of the pro-choicers are basically just like, as a matter of convenience, I don't know, I think it should be allowed, but whatever. Mm. There's no, in my opinion, there's very few people who would storm into red states demanding abortion facilities be opened. In which case, if there is going to be, I think it's entirely possible that abortion is a key issue which could trigger very serious civil conflict.
I would imagine it would be government overreach for COVID regulations. Yeah. If anything was going to spark physical violent conflict, that it would be like people kicking doors down trying to force inoculate people, like, you can't take my guns.
Or mandating like the third shot or the fourth shot in schools. Mm-hmm. Once you get to that point in a year or 2 years, then things could start getting really dystopian.
A few months.
I can agree to a certain extent, but I'm not convinced it'll be rolled out the way you think it'll. I don't think they're going to go door to door and pin people down.
No. It'd be too overt.
No. Right. What's going to happen is they're going to create perverse incentives and things like that.
Yeah, money.
But the issue of abortion is like, I mean, I didn't Seamus say this, that like abortion could be one day abolished like slavery and viewed much the same way?
I say the exact same thing.
It's a strong moral position. People are willing to like.
It just doesn't seem right to fight and kill to prevent killing.
What do you mean? That's literally what war is.
Every war.
I mean, it's one thing to kill the slave master and release the slave, but who are you going to kill to prevent the mother from killing the baby? The mother?
No, like, you have facilities that operate.
You're and just so you're burn like down a bunch of buildings. They'll just do it in another building.
We're talking about war. We're not talking about kill like, insurgency.
The like, who would they kill? It doesn't make sense though.
Ian,
to fight to stop abortion.
How do you fight to stop slavery? I mean, what would you do? Like burn a farm down? Yes. Basically, Sherman literally did march to the sea, burning
they
down
had to
cities
remove
and
the
farms.
Slave owners from power.
So exactly. So you want to stop abortion? What would people do? They would target doctors and facilities and destroy them. And of course, slaves still exist at the Civil War. They had to send the Union soldiers down to Texas. And that's what Juneteenth was about. It took like 3 years to finally, like, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. They still did. I'm not saying it's right or wrong or whatever your opinion is. I'm just saying the pro-life people have a strong moral position. They say this must be not allowed. And the people who are on the side of pro-choice and pro-life, I'm sorry, pro-choice and pro-abortion are not that morally convicted to it.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Right.
It's just a matter of priorities, I think. Freedom or safety or life. Other people, like people have different values, and so they have different decisions on these complex issues.
I'd like to hear from someone that experienced the Roe versus Wade phenomenon through it as a female.
That would be interesting.
Let's read some more. We got Bugga Off. He says, what do we call it when someone tries to force something inside of someone else by coercion?
The Harvey Weinstein
insertion.
Forceful insertion. We call it an international arrival bungalow. Tara Ann Simmons says, isn't this all a part of the Great Reset? I believe so.
Seems like it.
Yeah, I think they're doing the rat experiment on us, and I mean that somewhat facetiously. I just think
no, they are.
I don't know if it's as intentional as I think it's. I really don't believe there's a grand nucleus controlling everything, but I believe for the circumstances we're in will result in the same outcome. I don't know if it's relevant to be like, here's who I think is doing something. It's happening regardless. We're under lockdown. We all freak out. Everyone loses their minds. They lift the lockdown. Everyone goes, oh, thank heavens. And now they're like, lockdown again, but this time 10 times longer. And people are going to be like, ooh, we'll get out of it soon. I love the South Park episode. I didn't see it. Have you guys seen it?
I saw part of it tonight.
It's like,
I did.
Yeah.
It pretty much pokes fun at the Great Reset. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like,
incredible.
It's like they're all adults. And
children taken over by VR. There's like Chinese symbols everywhere. There's people like eating bugs. Meat is banned. I love that South Park special. It was good.
Yeah. And it was like 40 years later and COVID finally ends.
Yeah. No. Finally stops being relevant and everyone's adults. All the four main children characters are all old, and Cartman is he's a rabbi.
Right. Oh,
good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Kyle's a rabbi?
Yeah.
No, not Kyle. Cartman.
Cartman's
a rabbi.
Yeah, he is.
All right, I'll definitely watch that.
Amazing.
You have to.
All right, let's see. Mark Sermon says, true journalism criteria. All sources are linked, no ads beyond self-promotion, based on primary sources, not other articles, tweets, etc. I think that's high tier.
Yeah.
I think you can do journalism, but I do think sources should be linked. I think ads are fine, to be completely honest. And I think basing on primary sources is, I would say, 9 out of 10. There may be some circumstances where you have additional input, but 99.9% of the time, I think primary sources. Mm. And that's because I don't want to be completely absolute, but all sources should always be linked. And the challenge there is when you have unnamed sources. I'm not a big fan. But if you have the trust, I guess. I've had unnamed sources before, so it is what it is. Trunan on a shop at a pressure, Better Calf Care says, my lifelong Republican dad called me an anti-vaxxer today. Today was a huge black pill. Rip American freedom. Mm. Yeah, there was that. There's a clip from that Gunner guy, Michael Gunner in Northern Territories, who's like, if you oppose vaccine mandates, you're anti-vax, absolutely, and I will not. And I'm like, man, that guy is insane.
Well,
you know,
the most scary thing about that is that he is right technically, as per the new dictionary definition,
yeah.
Is that anti-vaxxer now means being against mandates.
Or giving aid, comfort, or support to people who are anti-lockdown.
Yeah. If you look at the actual like polls, by the way, like Americans who are actually anti-vax, it's like 5% or 8%. It's very, very small. But now you're going to have like a much bigger group of now anti-vax, like 20-30% or whatever it is, that actually oppose mandates, or maybe more than that.
Ben D says, you hear Baldwin says he never pulled the trigger? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Should we talk about that?
We talked about it a little bit before the show. Yeah.
He's lying. He's a liar.
An actor.
There might be
a kind of gun that goes off just from pulling the hammer back and letting it go that it would fire.
There's a possibility for that as well.
Well, that's a malfunction. He has a single action revolver. You pull the hammer. The cylinder spins, and then the trigger is ready to be pulled. I think, you know, it may be possible that Alec Baldwin doesn't understand when you pull the hammer back, the trigger goes back. And so he didn't realize that it's like a hair trigger. It's like you tap it. And the other question is, you didn't pull the trigger, but you pulled the hammer and pointed it at this woman. And
still not cool.
The gun went off. It's like, bro, I don't care if you did or didn't, whatever you believe. Like, you pulled out a gun, you pointed at a person, you pulled the hammer back, it went off, somebody died.
And when trauma goes down, people's memory sometimes blacks out, so he might not remember pulling the trigger.
Or he's just saying what he has to say.
I'd be down to talk about it. He doesn't want to go to prison. The after show, definitely.
Yeah, he was crying. Oh. Like, he was legit crying. His eyes were all puffy. He was bad. All right, let's see. We got Talon's Andrew. The microchip semiconductor industry is pushing mandates all over the country. Semiconductor workers need help fighting back. Please help get the word out. We have a petition on change titled Save Semiconductors. You know what I think people should do? I think just get all your buddies who work in that field and just start your own factory, man. Huh. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but start small and just start working on it.
I'm down.
If it's possible, I'm not saying it is.
Grabbing semiconductors, definitely possible.
But let's just create that parallel economy they want so dear.
You guys want to make some turbostratic graphene with me?
There you go.
Make superconductors?
A user named Emmanuel Goldstein says, are we going to address the elephant in the room that Trump was on the Lolita Express? And as I stated, as per Mr. Bill Gates, if you're a wealthy elite and you are flying on the Lolita Express, and it's called the Lolita Express, I can only assume you're doing one thing, and that goes for Trump, same as it goes for anybody else.
Yeah, I made a video theorizing what happened to Trump and Epstein on my Luke Uncensored video. I think it's an extortion operation. It wouldn't surprise me if Trump was caught up in the extortion part.
And come on, like, the way Trump talks about women, paying, what did he pay, $100,000 for Stormy Daniels?
Yeah.
He gets invited to the silent, same as anybody else.
That's a bad business deal. And he wrote the art of the deal? I mean, come on.
Well, someone else wrote it. I think he put his name on it.
I mean, maybe 10,000, but 100,000.
But hold on. I mean, what's the guy worth? He's a billionaire. Yeah. He probably pulled out a random wad of cash and he's like, oh, I got $150 on me. I'll give you $100
here. It costs him like $10,000 just to count the money in hours that he's losing in time.
Yeah, he probably just threw a lot of cash.
$10,000 a minute.
We heard reports in the Maxwell trial that Trump was very much flying, and the pilot, I believe, called Trump Epstein's wingman, saying that like it was with young ladies and all that stuff. Trump gets no special treatment from me. Mm. If Bill Gates is on the plane and we're going to call him out, I'd love to pull up a video of Trump stuttering and stammering. If he does, you know, what did Trump say about Maxwell?
He wishes her well for her trial. Yep. Which is an odd comment.
Yep. Ask Dummy says, might sound too silly, but to be honest, I think the medium of air is up for grabs. Really? Meaning, who has legal responsibility over the quality of air in my lungs now? Mm. Or, say at work, is my respiratory system an extension of my 400-pound coworker who just eats all day?
Yeah, there's something really gross about sitting next to some disgusting person that's not taking care of themselves. Just
bro.
Smelling up the room.
I was on a plane once, and what were we on? We were like on an Embraer, a CRJ, so they're not very big. They only have two seats on each side. And so it's one dude, and he was probably 300-something, 400 pounds. And the lady comes by with the food cart where they sell stuff. They have the snack box. They have the sandwiches. And, you know, she looks over at me and she's just like, would you like to buy any food? And I was like, oh, I'm good. And the guy next to me goes, yeah, I'll have the poor boy. And she's like, okay, so I'll also have another poor boy. I'll take two snack boxes. Do you have chips? I'll take two bags of those. Do you have anything to drink? I'll take three Pepsis. Yes, three. Okay, thank you. You don't have to open them. And also, do you have the nut package? I'll take another snack box, and I'm not exaggerating.
Oh my
gosh. I was sitting there like, whoa. And the dude, I'm like,
you're flying in the wrong class, man.
Yeah, seriously.
This was a long time ago, you know.
The good old days.
Yeah.
When I you can't always get first class because of availability, but I'd often get upgraded, and then you're sitting in the bigger seat. Now it's like, if I have to fly, you know, it's got to be first class, mainly because I work morning show, night show, and then we had to wake up when we flew to Austin. It was like, wake up Saturday first thing. I'm like, dude, my head will literally fall off if I'm dealing with the stress of sitting in coach and having to deal with that kind of nightmare. Oh, it is. People need to understand this. First class exists for a reason.
True.
If you're flying just like one time, you're going on vacation. I've flown coach hundreds, thousands of times. No joke, thousands. No problem. But when I had to fly when I was working for these companies like twice a week, I was like, yo, I literally can't handle flying. I would fly in on a morning and then fly out at night. And I'm like, please spare me dealing with this. And so that's why they have the rewards program. So typically I'd fly first class because I was like an elite member. I'd flown so much. These days I have like the special, you know, I still have the special account or whatever. So I don't got to worry about it. I have like a million frequent flyer miles. All right. Mason Wolfie says $20 says federal military enforcement leads to separation of states and the activation of militia groups throughout the U.S. Not saying it will, just a guess. I think abortion is going to play a big role in this. I really do.
I think so.
To be honest.
I'm not feeling that.
You don't think so?
No, I look at like how they said what was Oklahoma's National Guard. They were going to turn it into a militia. Like that to me is federal government saying we are basically renouncing our authority over you, Oklahoma. Like if you're going to start doing that to states. States are not going to take your laws very seriously.
Ben H. says Trump did not focus on prison reform with the First Step Act. The goals to reduce unnecessarily long prison sentence, improve conditions in prisons, and Trump did focus on prison reform with the First Step Act. Reduce unnecessarily long prison sentences, improve conditions in prisons, and enact post-prison rehabilitation programs. I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he released so many people that were in prison for like decades, and they came out and they were so happy and so grateful. And I think the programs to actually help rehabilitate people is crucial. Like, not just like let them off on the streets and then commit crimes again. We know recidivism rates are so, so high. Like, people who recommit crimes, like 60-70%. So, like, actually giving people programs where they can educate themselves or acquire skills to apply them in trades like plumbing or electrician or whatever it is, that's very, very important.
Now do Julian Assange.
Right. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe what we should do is at the first sign of any potential crime, we put you in solitary for the rest of your life.
Ah, interesting.
Just instantly, without trial. Just we'll do. You ever see Judge Dredd? You ever read it?
Yeah,
they're judge, jury, and executioner right there on the street. It's faster. It's easier.
Very fast.
It's actually a really interesting concept too. We were talking to Andrew Branca, the Law of Self-Defense, and he was just talking about how there's too many criminals for the courts to effectively deal with them. My response is like, that's too bad for the state. If they don't have the time to give a hearing, release them. It is better that 10 guilty persons go free than one innocent person suffer. From that idea, though, you end up with someone writing Judge Dredd.
Hmm.
Well, because there's too many criminals, make the judge and the cop and the jury one person who can go out and judge people. It's a cool sci-fi concept, man.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It's brutal, though.
And what's his name?
Well, they did the new one with Carl Urban.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah, was Sylvester Stallone?
It was a little cheesy, yeah.
Yeah,
it definitely got potential, though. I like the concept and flying cars.
Yep, just straight up killing people. I don't know, man. Hmm. It's an interesting concept as to the you know, congestion. Not something we want to happen.
I would like to see webcams more utilized in prison, and maybe for people that have an interest in learning a trade, they could do it on the internet and take classes every day, and then you could have like prison guards watch them.
Just don't leave James Comey's daughter in charge of that project.
You know what we should talk about? Wyatt Anderson says, Tim and crew, if the second civil war happens, would you fight or be war correspondents? I mean, neither. I mean, I guess
some
we would
options,
keep
right?
doing the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why that would change. Unless YouTube was like, oh, your opinions are bad and we're in a civil war, so they delete us or something. We'd probably just keep, you know, doing the show. I think we should definitely talk a little bit about this, because I think it was Slate wrote an article saying, which side are you on? The second civil war is coming. And they were like, we're not saying it's a guarantee, but which side would you, it's time to choose. Like, it was a crazy article. And it showed like a Proud Boy with a mask on or something. And I'm like, man, you're crazy. Dude.
Information is key during war, and that's why before many wars start, all dissemination of information is usually centralized by the state. So if there was a conflict, I don't think there would be things like YouTube and open debate and discussions. I think all of that would be out the window immediately.
Salon wrote it. Second American Civil War, which side are you on?
I think that's so reductionary because I don't think that there are just going to be two sides.
Right. There's always.
Look at the photo that they decided to put up with this.
Oh, wonderful.
That guy looks like Bane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like America Bane.
I like it, though. I like it.
Does he have a definitely shield? A can we scroll down a little bit?
No, that's about it. Oh, no, he does have a shield, though. Yeah. So, yeah, man. You know what I think? I think we'll talk about that in the. We'll talk about the member segment. We'll get into a lot of that stuff. And we'll just read one more here. Mark B says, why no comparisons of the vaccine mandates to the number of the beast? It is here. We've talked about that. We talked about how it says that, are you familiar with, was it Revelation?
Yeah.
Revelation.
Yeah,
Revelation.
Yeah, singular.
No S.
It's singular?
I think so.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've heard about it.
The mark of the beast, you would not be able to buy, sell, or trade unless you had the mark of the beast.
Interesting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then someone super chatted it to us and I was like, what? The Bible wouldn't talk about trading or selling in that context. Sense. That's weird.
Well, yeah.
I know,
Christians don't even.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. But the Mark of the Beast was just like a sign you were a member or something.
Yeah.
And then I read it and I was like, oh, yo, that's crazy.
That's weird.
Yeah. I err on the side these days that interests are using the story of the Bible and Revelation and then making it happen as opposed to like it was going to happen all along. That's where I'm at now.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, go to timcast.com. We're going to have a member segment coming up around 11 or so p.m. every day. There's a huge library of content. If you haven't already signed up, you definitely should because it helps support our work. And man, at this point, we have hundreds of members only segments you can watch about a variety of issues, behind the scenes content as well. The Green Room show here at the studio behind the scenes, as well as Tales from the Inverted World. We're just going to keep making more and more awesome stuff for you. So go check it out. And you can follow the show at TimcastIRL. Don't forget, you can also follow me personally at TimCast on Instagram and, you know, basically wherever else. Rav, you want to shout anything out?
Yeah, I just started a Substack to write about psychedelics, meditation, spirituality, ravarora.substack.com. I'm trying to get more and more subscribers so I can write about my experiences on MDMA, DMT, psilocybin coming up in the next 6 months and hopefully share with readers these experiences so that they can have their own.
We'll talk about that too in the members. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Ian's ears sparked up, by the way. His eyes went up pretty
done it?
Most of it, yeah. I've only puffed on DMT. I've never gone broken through yet.
We'll talk about that.
There's interesting discussions we can have.
I don't want to give people DMT blue balls.
Tune in.
Whole experience. I never thought I would ever hear that in my life, but here
we
are. I also have my own YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/wearechange. I was translating German again today. I had a lot of fun with it. People really enjoyed it. It was absolutely bonkers and totally facetious. And if you want to see it, again, youtube.com/wearechange. Hope to see some of you guys there. Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys so much for coming. I'm Ian Crossland. Check me at iancrossland.net. If you want to check and get in touch with my socials, catch you later.
Thank you guys for bearing with me in my impassioned arguments about pro-life, as I always bring. If you guys would like to see more of my insane but well-researched arguments against abortion, you are more than welcome to follow me at Sour Patch Lids on Twitter.
So a few minutes before the show, I was pulling up on my phone, my Google Drive, and I was talking to some of the people here. We're working on recording some more music, so we've got some guests here. And I was like, let me see if I can find some of the recordings I have. Maybe I can send you. And so I went to my Google Drive, and I searched for music. And then this music folder pops up and I click it and I see a bunch of names of songs I don't recognize. And I'm like, well, what is this? I don't know what this is. Like, and so I look and there's like lyrics and I'm like, what? I didn't write this. What is this? And then there's a video of this like dude with like short brown hair and some like red guitar. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I play the video and I don't recognize this guy at all. And then he starts singing and I'm like, that's Ian!
That's a good song. That song is hot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for hanging out. We'll see you all at timcast.com in the members only segment.
Bye guys.